That was my nightmare. I used to wake up screaming about the Black Shoe Store and point to this place, and it was the
Wait, were you doing the pointing? Were you doing the pointing in your dream, or were you doing the pointing?
No, after my dream, in like, the half room asleep, when you I would wake up and go to the window and point to that. It was like the dime.
Oh, you would actually stand up.
Yeah, I would stand up and point. Like, it was the dime savings bank had a big, like, I don't know.
How dumb were you that you called a green point when it was a dime?
Dream on. Little dreamer, dream on. Dream on. Little dreamer, dream on. I get a heart full of butterflies looking into your dreamy eyes. Dream on. Little dreamer, dream on.
I have never heard anything that Bryant has recorded other than stuff he's recorded at my house. And that's
true.
And that's only two or three. No, it really is.
That's not true. I made the Monty Love Sandwich remix thing.
I apologize.
I also showed you
one thing.
When I fall in love, it will be.
See, I disagree with you, Chris. I think it's because they're miserable bastards and they cannot even come up with a happy idea to even start to write a song.
I do agree they're miserable bastards.
I have a bad idea.
Keith says both of us suck.
Okay.
And Brian says your wife is the best.
Okay.
Keith says both of us suck. Dude, I've never been more disappointed than I am right now. Keith says both of us suck. Keith says both of us suck.
Loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me not.
Should I put on a song of being in love with yourself?
Can want that Smokey Robinson of the Miracles at 9:06, kind of Mr. Whisper time with the Cherry Man Show.
It's a madhouse!
Charlton Heston discovers a world turned upside down, where humans run wild in the jungles and the superior beings are apes. Planet of the Apes.
This is Mr. Whisper. Who am I? Only the Dino Boss Chuck.
Right, Beatrice Ingvall of Fresno for $850. Who is Mr. Whisper?
Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, Beatrice, I'm sorry, that's not it. Mr. Whisper remains a mystery, but we'll send you an autographed picture of him when he's identified. Stand by for another chance next hour to win $850.
Dino number one.
Good sound of the peppermint rainbow. Don't you wake me up in the morning, Mike. I got better things to do, right? Like sleep cuts seas, baby. It's 3 minutes past 9 o'clock. Good morning. Tiger Bob Raleigh at WPGC, number one.
Mini commercial number two. Charlie Cooper, two stations, Chevrolet Citgo, Kenilworth Citgo, car repairs, top value stamps, Roger, Wilco, over and out.
WPGC.
Big as your fist. An adventure.
creature as big as Africa, as only Jules Verne could have imagined it. The Southern Star. Columbia Pictures presents George Segal, Ursula Andress, and Orson Welles in The Southern Star. An adventure hunt for the world's most fabulous diamond. Filmed in Technicolor in the searing wilderness of Senegal. Rated M.
Hey, listen, now showing at your favorite neighborhood theater.
Have a ball, y'all, as WPGZ swings with summer power. 1967. Do you remember, baby, one time?
Amateur type porn things probably make so much more money than the real porn.
The Jenna Jameson.
You know, like
make more money, I doubt.
But no, okay, no, make more money, but it's probably more popular. Like if you put a website of porn star movies.
Girls
versus,
taking craps and coca.
I guess on an extreme level,
for
sure,
peace.
But
yeah. For the peace.
No, when I have fret time, I usually go to amateur too. I don't go to porn.
Welcome!
Get on the ball, y'all. It's Memorial Day weekend on WTBHGX.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com. It's a radio program for dicks. Good morning.
Get on the ball, y'all.
No, that was pretty hip hop. It had a lot of flavor to it. Good morning, everybody. It's Best in Show, BestinShowRadio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, the place to be and the thing you do with your ears. My name is Chris.
What time is it, Chris?
Oh, it's hammer time? It's bread time, I'm sorry. Look who else is here. He's a producer. His name is Brown.
It's time to start the show, yo.
And look at this fellow over here. I just congratulated him on the merger. It's cute.
Get off the ball, y'all. On and off.
Zaza. Give me the rock, Jack. It's only
forever. What? Were you guys expecting something? So, for real. Am I the only person who thinks everything sounds insane in the headphones right now, or is it just
like
me?
Insanely good?
Insanely loud and nuts.
What number are you?
I don't know. Don't worry about it. I'm okay. No, the music-wise, the music sounded crazy loud compared to everything else. Everything sounds fine now.
That's because I crank it.
Oh, word.
It might be Keith's Skull and Crossbones iPod that he has. Is that the gayest iPod that you've ever seen? that is cranking the tunes out today.
Yeah, he didn't have the Skull and Bones one. That's kissing the other Skull and Bones one. That's the only one that would have been a little gayer.
Ear poison.
This actually isn't mine. I got my wife a new one, so I took her old one. So is that a cover? Yeah, it's an iPod cover.
Oh, see, I don't understand the whole iPod thing. You know, I like Zunes.
But you have a cover on your Zune.
I think they're called skins.
Yeah, but that's the thing. But mine is actually a removable thing. Like, is that a removable thing, or is that actually the plastic
pops right
case?
Off.
No, it's welded onto it now.
But there could be casing over it, right, douchebag? I'm just saying.
Yeah, but the casing would be removable, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Sir?
But if you could remove it, maybe you would show a like some sort of motherboard underneath there of some sort. You never know. What do I know about iPods?
But the question is, guys, if you can remove it, why hasn't Keith removed it? Like, I'd remove this like immediately.
That was the whole point of my question, whether it was something that was removable.
Oh, totally. I did remove it. I removed it, and my wife got mad at me, even though it's not hers anymore. And she said, "What are you embarrassed of my iPod cover?" And put it back on.
The correct answer to that question would be yes. Yeah,
totally.
Yes, I am embarrassed by your film.
By the way, it's being pointed out in the chat room already by our buddy White S. Brent. Is it me or does this intro seem to get longer and longer every week? And funny, as we were starting the show, Keith says, "Yeah, so about an hour and 45 minutes in, we'll be able to start talking today."
Well, how long was that? Was that over a 10-minute intro?
I would say it was a 7-minute intro.
When it plays to the end of the David Bowie music, it's 10 minutes and 18 seconds.
Nice,
best in show.
You know what? I flip through the dials. I hear so much going on. I hear all the new movies that are coming out.
What, are you in a time machine?
That new Charlton Heston movie?
I'm totally confused. I'm just looking at the chat. Vito's saying we sound more like Ron and Fez and Opie and Anthony every day because we're doing the intro long. Do they do long intros?
I think so.
Well, ironically, Satellite of Love is my outro music for today.
Awesome. Thank God. Thank God.
Keith, if you could go back in a time machine, would you go back to the 60s? Would that be the time that you would go back? You seem like a 60s guy to me.
I'd probably want to go back to the... to the 60s first, and then I would say the 80s, but I was there already.
87, bro. WrestleMania 3, it'd be awesome.
That would be yours, Chris?
Awesome. WrestleMania 3, specifically.
87, and you want to be there, watching it.
Yeah, could my time machine actually send me to different places instead of just different times?
It has to. It's a requirement.
Yeah, so then I want to be in... let me think about that.
All time machines, for the record, built after 2001, have to send you to a place as well as a time.
I don't understand. Where's the logic come from?
I don't know. I didn't make the law.
Where does the
law? That's a really crazy thing, because I guess it's an assumption that you think that when you're going to be in a time machine, a la say Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, that all right, we're going to go back to Socrates' time, as they say, and then all of a sudden, like, they're next to him.
Isn't it
like, wait, you were nowhere near? I saw our movie. I got confused.
We'll jump in a time machine here, and there'll be a 70-year-old senile lady.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, why would it be a specific time? Like, if you're traveling in time, why would you get to go to a different place?
Maybe
then it's like a time traveling car.
Well,
planet.
Why would you want to go back even before humans were? Why wouldn't you want to go back like dinosaurs or like Big Bang?
Self-preservation, not wanting to be stepped on by a dinosaur would be my reason.
But then you get back in and then you go to 1987.
But where are you going?
Oh God! Oh my God! You know, and specifically, you know what I would go to? I would go right to the moment when Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is giving Macho Man Randy Savage a deep arm drag, and Gorilla Monsoon is so excited. He says, "I love those deep arm drags that Steamboat does." Oh my God! It's the greatest thing in the world.
I love it when Fred gets all philosophical. Like the time that, you know, before men, like the dinosaurs, like you could say hello to the dinosaurs and then you go back to 1987 and watch wrestling.
Only if the dinosaurs were going to say hello back would I want to go. But I would like to go back into the time when Hitler really snapped. Like what, that moment. To go back
to
the time
that Hitler really snapped. I don't understand what you mean.
Like
when he killed all those Jews,
yeah.
Is that
but,
what you mean?
But that moment in his life where that was going to be his goal. Do you know what I mean?
No.
He's talking about like before his normal time when he would sit in his room painting, going, "Someday I'll kill them all."
Exactly.
I mean, you want to be there at the moment when he decided to become a homicidal maniac,
yes,
or a genocidal maniac.
Like what really like snapped, made him do that?
Did he ever have a radio show?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
Well, he did afterwards, right? Like.
I love, by the way, that the debate is raging on in the chat room as to why our intro is so long and whether we have enough content anymore. Like, it's great.
Hey, we've moved on from that. We're talking Hitler now. Keep up with us, would you, chat room?
I love it.
Let's go back in the time machine and do it again.
Secret radio hour. I'll be here next week, or will I?
Yeah, I don't know.
Brian wants to go back to the time when he was in his school... in the air duct in his school that he found from the blueprint.
Oh, my God. 1893. HVAC days. HVAC days. It was so great.
I want to go back a couple days and make the previously on Best in Show longer.
Good another 20 minutes.
That's not something I can answer right off the top of my head. I have to really kind of invest some time into that. Where would I go if I could go back? I can't go forward in time. I can go back in time.
No, you can't go forward in time. It hasn't happened.
Well, I mean, I can't really go back in time either, you know?
You're forward in time. Now you're being silly.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
Come on, just go with the damn conversation, Brian.
Just the bit? Just roll with the radio bit?
Suspend some disbelief. Suspend some disbelief. Doing a radio show, Brian? It's not even... He's like, no, I'm not going to talk about this.
We're doing a radio show? I didn't think we started. I thought the intro was still on.
I'm not going to answer you, Chris.
Oh, sorry. By the way, that radio show is Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com. Here on Hear Us Talk. That's the thing you do with the ears and the place to be, because our buddy DJ Newstyle this week made sure to eliminate all confusion, and now you can get to us by going to HearUsTalk.com and HereUsTalk.com. So it's a very exciting, special time. Make sure everyone that you know knows all about that. If you want to call us on this program, this fine, fine program, you can at 877-744-6405. And if you want to get us on the instant messenger, you can at Best in Show Brian and Best in Show Keith. Because unfortunately, Best in Show Chris got a new BlackBerry this week and hasn't figured out how to put instant messenger on it yet.
Well, congratulations on the new BlackBerry.
Yeah!
Is it a Pearl?
It is not a Pearl. It is the new Curve. And the thing that I need to be congratulated on more than anything else is I'm not paying for it. My company is finally paying for my BlackBerry.
You were paying for your other one?
Yes, I was.
Far out.
I was paying out of my own pocket because I felt I needed it, even though I wasn't approved to have one. And then finally this week I was approved, and I'm just psyched. I was approved on Monday, and it was in my hands on Thursday, so it was fantastic.
Imagine that.
If I were to go back in time, I would like to go see you guys be born and see what your parents had to say, like behind the scenes as you guys were being born, and tell you.
You know, that kind of brings up, maybe that would be my decision. I'd kind of want to go back to the time where I could hang out with mom and dad and see, like, what they were really like.
What type of people they were before.
Yeah, sort of like Back to the Future. Just kind of, like, chilling out.
You don't have a good grasp on what they were really like?
I have an idea, and I think they're pretty
friggin'... Because that seems like a waste of a time machine trip.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I'd like to get to know you a little better.
What, Keith, do you really know what your parents were like when they were younger?
You know, that's an excellent point. I don't even want to talk to them now.
Were they like you when they were younger?
You know they're not going to answer the door anyway, Brian. So what's the difference? My parents were probably very much like me in a way, yeah. I don't know what that means, but... No, actually, they probably weren't, though.
Probably very much like me in a way.
But in a little bit, they were.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain that my parents are pretty much exactly the same today as they were, you know...
Years ago?
40 years ago.
Really?
When I was 10 years old.
See, I think my parents are more party animals. I think they were bigger party animals. Because I know my mom's drink now is wine spritzers, white wine spritzers. And her drink, like when she was younger, was Dewar.
Bourbon.
Dewar's on the rocks. Bourbon. She loved, you know. So I can only imagine my mom on bourbon. Oh.
That's why I think I'd like to go and hang out with my parents for a little while. Because I actually did hang out with them when I was a baby. And they were crazy, but I didn't really kind of think it was crazy at the time. Looking back at it, like, as a...
Well, cite some examples. Like, we'd
go to, you know, all those live concert show. Like, they were hippies, basically, is what they came. But they weren't, like, the happy-go-lucky, like, flower-in-your-hair hippies. They were, like, the motorcycle riding, like...
Hells Angels hippies?
Yeah, nothing in your back
pocket. Are those hippies? Are those hippies?
Those are gang members.
They weren't the Beatles hippies. They were the Rolling Stones hippies, pretty much. And like they end up going to shows, live shows and stuff, and I'd be like the little naked baby, kind of running around and stuff. And we
are there pictures of you on the album on Woodstock? If I open up, will I see pictures of you in there?
That could easily have been me, like banging around on the drum set.
Were you at Woodstock as a baby?
No, no. My father was in Nam.
Were you there?
Killing snips.
Bro, the Nam.
The Nam.
Oh, so that was a crazy place to bring you then. You probably got more stories than Woodstock.
So my dad brought me to Nam. I was a kid. I was naked.
Brian would go back in time to hang out with his parents, and his parents would beat the crap out of him, I bet. They would, like, I bet you, they would hate you.
I wonder if I could fight my dad. Like, go back in time and fight dad.
Beat the crap out of him.
Once again, Brian's issues come to the forefront of a relatively innocent question.
Hey,
where would you go?
Hey, if you could time travel, what would you do? Fight my father? I'd go to fight my father town. Time, date, place, the whole thing.
Anywhere, anytime.
The ring, mother effer, the ring, me and you.
Dad, I got a chance to change history, so I came back to kick your ass.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's a good point. Great. Sorry.
Awesome.
They were crazy people, and they did crazy things. They were all kinds of crazy. They were having crazy fun times and scary at times. I'm sure it would have been interesting to witness it from a child standpoint, from an adult, which I never did later.
Sorry, Brian.
Yeah, I just say 1987.
Really, it's still,
I just
want to
watch wrestling. I'm going to hang out and watch wrestling.
I'd like to go to 89.
What happened in 89?
Oh, it was just I liked 89.
Who was the reason for liking 89?
I don't know. I discovered most of my favorite bands in 89.
It was all yeary.
88, 89.
I'm changing my answer. I want to go back and see Brian fight his dad. That's what I want to do, man. Oh, the flux capacitor, if it only existed. Oh.
Yeah, if it did. I'm sorry. I'm a little crazy today. I'm feeling a little not well because my chest is a little bit aching
from your endo.
A little bit pained out because
it's aching me.
I had a delicious doctor take a big metal pipe and stick it in my mouth 2 days ago and look at my bunghole through my mouth. Well, not quite that far, but.
Well, what was it like? Like, how far did they go? Like, you were knocked out, so you don't have any documentation of this, do you?
I have quite a bit of discussion about my fantastic experience that I had this week over at the Staten Island Hospital.
See, there was a good pre-recorded bit. You should have just left the recorder running while you were under and see what they had to say.
That would have been an idea, and I actually had ideas about using something from it for later, but we'll talk about that never again. So I went to the hospital. I got my endoscopy on Friday. I had to be at the hospital at 6 o'clock, so I go walking in and I got hosed. I got piped, and it was cool, I guess.
Orally, right? Not.
No. I didn't get a colonoscopy. I got an endoscopy.
Oh, I'm very very well versed on the difference these days. I was just wondering if you got something else. Also.
Nope. I was not on a spit. I wasn't rotating on a spit. I was just. They just went in on one side.
Keith, I thought you were asking if he got yelled at. Orally.
So when they put you under, you didn't dream. Just take. Let me put that out there right now. Do you remember anything while you were under?
No, not
nothing.
At all. Okay. No, I was only under for maybe 15 minutes. Yeah, like I the last time I remember looking at the clock, it was 7:25, and then I was getting wheeled out of the room at like 7:45.
Did they do one of those Brian countdowns before the show, like with the
19, 17, 15.
Tubes are going down. Tubes are going down.
Yeah, no, it was cool. Like I said, they brought me in this room and everything was fine. It was a little bit of a what are the words I'm looking for? A little bit of a harrowing experience as I got this procedure done on Staten Island. And once again, Staten Island proves once and for all that it is slightly more advanced than the time machine time where you're going where the dinosaurs are, because it was honestly it was the most ridiculous weird thing in the world that I felt like I was in a high school getting my scoping done.
You just answered my question then, because I called you Friday night to find out, and I was because everyone knows I'm a big fan of getting one of those myself soon, so.
I'm a big fan of getting one of those myself soon. By everyone knows, Keith tells us that he loves it constantly, that he's obsessively wants to get his... He wants to get rid of his esophageal cancer that he knows he has now.
So I called you Friday night to find out how it went, and I wanted the name of Chris's doctor and how it was, and he was just kind of like... He must have been still out of it, or I guess since you're here, I'll ask you. You must have been kind of out of it, because your response was kind of like, yeah, it's all right.
I was okay. It wasn't. You know what? There was experiences about it. There was some oddness to it, which I'll get into. But the actual day of, I was cool. It was the following day that my chest started hurting. I guess maybe I start my esophagus and whatever started bruising. I guess the following day, because now it hurts. Because now 2 days later, it still kind of hurts that I've been hosed.
Chris, we have the results of your endoscopy. It seems your esophagus is very bruised. That could lead to an infection.
Before you went under, Chris, did you hear like, "Where's the doctor? Oh, the doctor isn't coming in." And then you just went out.
It's exactly that. Actually, my doctor was in the room with me. He was a fine fella. He did a great job. Everything was great. They put this big plastic thing in my mouth and then taped it around my mouth while I was still awake. Was just
Whoa.
Like, hey, it's just a lot of fun, gosh.
How far in did it go in your mouth?
The thing that taped me up?
Yeah.
No, it just went past my teeth. It held my mouth open and kept a hole there so they could put the tube right in. By the time it actually happened, I was done. I don't remember. I turned on my side and then I was just done.
I have such a gag reflex just thinking about them putting that tube down your throat.
Did you wake up in the same, like, bed type
yeah,
of clothes?
Thing? I woke up in the same room with the... Oh, I see, clothesless. There's a lot of great stuff that happened.
So, why don't you roll with it?
No, yeah, I am. It's, but yeah, I did wake up in the same room. I was in the same room that I saw it. I was getting wheeled out of the room, and then the nurse banged me into the door on the way out.
Nice. Did you have to pay extra for that?
Yes. It was good. So,
Did you go to the Amish hospital in Staten Island? Is that exactly. where you went?
Okay. Yeah, they laid me on an oxen and brought me into a room. It was great.
They told him, 'tis a fine oxen, don't worry.
Now, so when I get there, I mean, whatever, it was early in the morning, I was fine, everything was cool. I was brought in, and then as I'm being brought around by my, whatever, medical assistant, it wasn't the RN, like one of the assistants, there was another one with her.
Joey?
And she goes over to the other one and says, this woman in there keeps asking me if the bed that we put her on is safe. I'm like, no, it's effing broken. You know, while I'm standing next to her, and then she looks at me and goes, oh, sorry. And I was like, no, it's quite all right. And I'm like, can I not have an effing broken one?
She thought you were out. That's what it was.
Dude, this was while I was walking in. This is when they were bringing me to my waiting room chair.
Sometimes you look a little unconscious when you're walking around. Can't blame her for that.
Oh, sorry, I thought he was a zombie. My mistake. All right. By the way, it was my mother, I guess, who was working there. It's the same voice I use for my mother.
So they put you under, which is to say they typically like prep you for putting you under. Like when they put me under for ankle surgery, similar to what Fred just acknowledged happened. My doctor wasn't there, so they had to have me in this sort of pre-unconscious state for an extended amount of time, and they did that.
Sensory deprivation chamber.
No. They start you with a painkiller, and the painkiller they gave me was Demerol. So they had me on Demerol for like an hour or two while they were waiting for my doctor to come there.
Yeah, your doctor's not here right now. Would you like to become a junkie?
Demerol was incredible. And yes, later I found out it was like the medical opiate version of heroin, and I instantly understood how heroin addiction occurs because it had to be one of the best experiences of my life.
That's what the hospital calls on deck.
Okay, Brian, here's a William S. Burroughs book to read, and we'll throw some Velvet Underground on for you while you relax.
So I was wondering, did you get a little Demerol before they knocked you out? Because they told
I did not have a surgery. I had a scoping done where they took a little biopsy. So
they had to knock you out.
They knocked me out, but it wasn't a surgery. There was no cutting, per se. They knocked me out. That's all it was.
Oh, so they wouldn't need
I didn't have a painkiller. There was a topical... what do you call that? Like a
radio show?
Yes, a very topical radio show. A topical thing on the hose because it numbed it while it went down. But that was it, and that wore off. It was like chloroseptic, basically.
They suggested
was what they did to it.
They said pink.
Yes,
I guess
schmegma, according to what his friend in the chat room. A topical schmegma.
I guess that makes sense now because they'd be giving it to you to dull the pain. It kind of didn't make sense to me that they were just getting me high before they were knocking me out. But I wasn't arguing with them. It
well, you also, I mean, you were also getting. I mean, you were getting surgery. You were getting cut into and chopped apart. I was having something put in my mouth that probably would be uncomfortable if I was awake.
They're knocking you out. That's pretty. That's pretty.
It was a quick knockout, though. I want to find out what the drug was that they used because I would cop that on a daily basis.
Would be honest, Chris. Was Keith's second question to you after he says, "Are you okay?" Was it? Do you have any pills?
Did you get any pills?
No, that was his second question. Was, well, are you okay? No, I got no pills. Yeah, for some reason, as we were starting the show. You know, Keith actually mentions the fact that my wife said something about Percocets. I'm just like, wait, what the hell is she talking about? I wish I got Percocets. I'd be having a party right now.
Yeah, I heard you talking like in like Braille over there. You were like whispering to each other. And Keith is like, what, you got some of those? You got some of those?
No, don't misrepresent
wait,
me.
Wait.
I thought she said dope.
Reds and blues? You got
them? It was I was given nothing. The thing is, the drug that they put me on, the thing that knocked me out, while I was still conscious on it, the feeling was very reminiscent of being on Percocets. Like, kind of like, almost like a little bit of nauseousness in the stomach and feeling like a little bit cool, but not great.
Just what you want when they're about to shove a tube down your throat.
Well, I didn't eat for a day before, so it's not like I would have thrown up anything. There was nothing.
Oh, you couldn't eat for a day before?
Well, 12 hours before. So I was.
I'm out.
But, so they gave it to me, and it was good. And I loved it, and I got...
Did you get results back?
No, I got my biopsy results this week. Although I do have that. Here, let's see what do I have.
Do you have
right
a picture
here
of anything? Like your
insides? No, I wish I did.
You know, at this point, I could probably help you out with the picture. I've been looking at so many pictures of.
Well, what I understand is that there was evidence of grade 1 reflux esophagitis of the distal esophagus. What's that mean?
Esophagitis. Esophagitis isn't bad. It doesn't say Barrett's esophagus.
Grade one reflux esophagitis.
I think
so. Acid reflux.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
GERD, as they call it.
But they said the distal
esophagus.
I think that's the valve or the esophagus at the bottom of the tube. Ooh. That makes your muscle, if it's lazy, that's the reason why you're getting heartburn. You're getting acid reflux.
And there's two things you
acids are going up your esophageal tract, and that little lazy flap isn't closing, isn't sealing it.
And by the way, alcohol.
By the way, my album is totally going to be called Lazy Flap.
Alcohol lazy makes the flap much lazier. It never closes when you drink alcohol. You could have it surgically repaired. I would go for that if I was you.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. I'm gonna as soon as you can. Some sort of real serious.
If you swallow about a bottle cap, it'll snag like on the end, and it like creates weight.
It'll be like my own little like garbage can lid with the little button thing. Nice, I'm with it. In addition, there was also evidence of non-erosive gastritis of the antrium.
I don't know what that means.
I think he said, basically when he told me when it was all done, he was like, yeah, it's okay. You don't have any real damage, but you know, you probably have heartburn a lot. And I was like, yep, that's basically what I got.
Back on the Prilosec.
He told me he doesn't want me to go on Prilosec. He wants me to go on Pepsi. Prilosec's too strong. He's like, you don't need Prilosec for how minor your problem is.
Nice.
My favorite part about it, so this paper with this diagnosis on it, I read it for the first time today. The second thing is the follow-up results of what I'm supposed to do about avoiding food.
Good thing you...
Do not eat this. Do not eat or drink for 15 to 30 minutes after the completion of the procedure.
Excellent choice to read that today.
I went right to the deli and got a bacon. I got not bacon, egg and cheese. I got an egg and cheese on the roll and just dogged it down.
Extra hot sauce.
I got it with ketchup and hot sauce because I'm really smart.
Wash it down with shots of vodka.
Right, let's see.
I'm looking up acid reflux on
the internet. It says, start with only small sips of water. I'm dumping egg and hot sauce down there. By the way, then I went out drinking that night in downtown, and then I went to Little Italy at 3 o'clock in the morning and started eating raw clams with hot sauce at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Never you mind the reflux.
There's a clam on Nakarada for you. Yeah, I got raw clams with hot sauce, and I had hot soup in the mussels.
I think that's the acid reflux special. At Baboonies.
By the way, did I forget to mention the following morning, while I was taking a shower, I jumped out of the shower to throw up in the toilet because of the pain that I was in. And I didn't drink, it wasn't like I drank excessively and I was like a wreck, like morning after throw up. It was from the hot stuff that had irritated me so much that I threw up the next day.
See, man, that's
didn't stop me though, because I had a chicken with Swiss this morning with a little bit of hot sauce on it. I'm good.
See, the doctor,
I'm going to beat this thing.
It gives you a little good news, and you just take it. You just take it for what it's worth.
Well, it's like
I wish I could do that.
It's like what my doctor did for me when he told me about my blood pressure. He's like, well, this pill's going to take your blood pressure. He put me on like a strict diet for like a couple weeks to try to lower my blood pressure. My blood pressure went down, or it didn't really go down. It's like, all right, I got to put you on a pill. This pill's going to take care of everything. I said, oh, okay, cool. So that day, I just started eating and drinking again. Did he give you
like a little wink when he was giving you the diet and point to the pill?
I thought
first one's free. First one's free.
This pill makes you smaller. This one makes you large.
Yeah. So my,
you know, like I didn't mention this. It happened a couple weeks ago. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. It was when I was in Washington and I missed the show a couple weeks back.
Washington.
I think it was Washington, which is the East Coast one. Washington is the West Coast.
Well, the guys from the West Coast would say the East Coast one at Washington,
really?
Though, wouldn't they?
Then I was in Washington, okay. D.C., the district of Washington. And I was there for like a wedding reception type thing, and they only had seafood there, which I'm not a big seafood or shellfish guy, but they just had all these different kind of versions of seafood. They actually had a full barbecued pig that they showed with all the barbecue sauce and then brought it back and flayed it up, and I had some of that too. But besides that, it was all shellfish and what was that? Oysters that you just had and all of this really great stuff. I don't do it too often, but I just ate a bunch of it. And then, drank a lot. I ended up smoking a lot. We were in a smoker's hotel room, so, I was smoking in the hotel room when we got back. I woke up at, 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was gagging on that little thing that, dangles in the back of your throat.
There's no way you could have been gagging on that. How?
I was gagging. I was gagging. I was and I couldn't. I went into the bathroom to take a look at it, and I couldn't. It was like I could feel it kind of flapping around. And
it was caught in your extra pouch in the back of your neck?
I thought I had swallowed it or something like that, and I opened up my mouth, and I looked into a mirror. I got a light shining behind my head, and I looked in the mirror. It was, I might be exaggerating a little bit here, but it was like a ping pong ball flapping at the end of like a flap of skin in the back of my throat. And anytime I leaned my head back, it would just, it would just go right over the hole where I couldn't breathe. It was these little panic attacks that were happening every 30 seconds. And I mean, I took a bunch of ibuprofen to try to bring the swelling down. And I just went back to bed. Checkout time was at 11. I had to ask for a late checkout time. And I just sat there freaking out, trying to breathe through my nose as much as I could so I wouldn't, like, die. It was, it flipped me out.
And you never went to a doctor or never did anything about
it? It's, I woke up at 1 o'clock and the swelling went down and everything's been fine. I think I'm a little, it's a little psychosomatic now. I feel a little gaggy more often than not, but I think it's just me kind of freaking out a little bit. I think I am allergic to shellfish or seafood or something.
It inflamed that tonsil. I know it's not your tonsils.
Whatever that little flap is.
Uvula.
I don't think it's a uvula.
No, he's a boy. He don't have that.
Oh.
But whatever that thing is, yeah, that was gnarly. And it was, like I say, okay, maybe ping pong ball is too big.
Golf ball?
I was, no, even that's, I was thinking like the, what's that little bar game that you play with the hockey people?
Foosball.
It was like a foosball. It looked
a foosball and a ping pong and a golf ball, I think, are all identical
size. It was not perfectly round, but it was
an
that
eight ball.
Size.
An eight ball.
That's your problem.
It was, it freaked me
out.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be snorting that, not eating it.
got it. It's, I was those. I just
you
kept
know,
panicking.
The whole psychosomatic stuff that goes on. Hearing about this while my chest is already bothering me, now my pain has radiated up to my neck.
Well, what about me? See, right now I haven't had the procedure done yet, and one of the acid reflux
and your internal bruising is killing you. Your internal bruising has gotten your uvula all in a bunch.
it's sympathy pains for you, buddy. I get one of the acid reflux things I get is bad pain in my shoulder blade and right over here, like a pain like you're having a heart attack, which I know what it is. I know what it's from, but it's that's just started flaring up as soon as we started talking about this whole topic. It knows.
It wasn't even...
You're talking about me.
I get those sharp chest pains every once in a while, too. I had that diagnosed by an actual doctor and found out what the cause of that was.
Cancer.
I have like a little.
You said like an air pocket around your lung.
There's like
or something
a weird little pocket that develops sometimes. A little air bubble inflates in the inside of my chest cavity, and all I have to do is just breathe in heavily, and it'll pop it. But in the interim, it's now pressing against my heart and my lungs.
I have that
really.
I remember that when
and
I
you
used
can hear it pop when you breathe in. It goes.
I remember that.
Wait a second! I've heard that before. I thought that was just
and
lung
then
cancer.
It's done. and then you don't feel.
Yeah.
That you probably have a little air bubble like I do.
I want you to understand that when I was a smoker working with Brian years ago, I used to get bad chest pains all the time and have to hold my breath every now and again to make my chest not hurt. And Brian tried to convince me that I, too, had this extra pocket of air around my lung. Now you're the new person who he's convincing that has this air thing. That's not a thing that people get. You don't just get extra air pockets in your body.
Oh, I bet
like
I
that.
Did.
He said it wasn't typical. It's not something that everyone gets. But
you know what? I can't.
If it pops like that, it sounds like you've got...
I can't even function anymore at this point. Because I think I mentioned this last week, but now every time I first of all, this is the worst allergy season I've ever experienced in my life, so I have had like it's either a muscle pull, or I most likely think it's larynx cancer, as I mentioned last week.
Right.
And my throat,
cancer.
When I swallow...
Ricky Steamboat, 1987.
When I swallow, it feels like there's a little rock in my throat for like 3 months. And I changed doctors, by the way, but my older doctor would look at it and she'd say, no, your throat looks fine, you know? But it gets progressively worse with allergies. So I have that, and then I have the...
Maybe you're allergic to rocks. Maybe you should stop eating rocks.
No, well, I don't chew them, though. I just swallow them for my teeth. So I have that, and then I combine that with, you know, with all the pain circulating around here. Then I take Zyrtec, and it dries me out. It's just I can't even survive anymore. I can't function. I have a new appointment with a new doctor on June 3rd.
How much of it do you think is really what's wrong with you, and how much of it do you think is really what's wrong with your head? Do you think there's anything that has to do with it being your head? Seriously legitimate.
No, because I don't buy that you can give yourself pain as much as
I don't think that pain that you could really have. I think there's very few pains that you could really have that could be worse than what you can create with your head.
But what about when I'm not thinking of that and all of a sudden I feel the pain? Can you get it? Can you subconsciously? Can your brain have that? Like as you said during when we did the word association thing a while back, on deck, is that thought on deck and somehow it causes the pain to happen?
It could be. It could be. I don't know. I do know that, and I'm not saying this like to mock you at all in any way, but like I know that you're a crazy dude who's screwed up in the head. And I know that it's, I think it's potential that you could really be creating these things in your head and they're manifesting. Oh God, did I just give you lung cancer?
I've been using my asthma inhaler like crazy lately.
As BIS Vanessa in the chat room says, you could have created a real condition in your brain previously. Like you could have just sort of the psychosomatic action.
Wait, my psychosomatics are broken? Oh my God, I have those too.
Wait, so I could have given myself.
You could have done it over and over again, and then as a result, giving yourself the.
My psychosomatics are the size of a ping pong ball now.
Well, certainly stress is like a common cause of so many things that we see in our modern world today, including acid reflux and like all this kind of crazy. So if you're giving yourself heartburn, maybe Vanessa is suggesting be giving you esophageal cancer.
Plus, I have the
what she said. I think
the one thing is, I don't think I could have given that to myself in the month and a half since I went to the doctor, so I have some time.
No, but you've been thinking you're sick for what, a decade?
You've been complaining of acid reflux for more than.
Acid reflux for a couple of years, but
yeah,
it was
not a month and a half.
It was the day I went. It was in the first week of April that I went to the doctor, and when she first said the word esophageal cancer to me, that's when I haven't had a good night's sleep since then. But I know I have allergy problems anyway because my chest is wheezing constantly. I actually woke myself up wheezing the other night. The noise of my chest wheezing, I'm not even joking, woke me up because I thought it was a cat crying or something.
Do you think it has something to do with the fact that you are, I don't know, have 75 extra pounds of weight around your esophagus? Seriously. People wheeze and have breathing problems. Did you ever hear a fat guy ordering food? It doesn't sound as good as
I'd
a skinny
love to hear
guy.
It right
no,
now.
I can't hear it. What
do you mean? They have the breathing issue because they're fat people.
I just wanted to hear that again. That's
sorry, I can't hear you.
Wow, I guess my child's screaming in the hallway.
So you're too fat.
Psychosomatic.
No, I believe in mind over matter. Like you could, if you have a cold and you think you're not sick, you can make yourself feel better.
See, now Vanessa scared me because now I'm thinking that now not only that my one thing was maybe it's in my mind, now it was in my mind, but now I created it, so now I have it anyway.
You know, what you said, Fred, is what my father would actually always say, and it's one of the reasons why I so rarely go to the doctor, because I feel like, you know, a lot of this problem is probably just symptomatic of something smaller. It'll eventually go away, and I can probably, mind over matter, try to make some of this go away. So I'll wait it out for so long, thinking, okay, well, just another couple days, I'll wait, and if it doesn't go away, I'll go then.
But when does it go too far?
It apparently, for me, never. Like, I just keep letting it go.
Maybe it's good to be like Keith and always worry about it and always be getting checked, you know, than actually saying, oh, I'm just going to let my brain take over. It's not going to...
Right. So you're saying stop thinking. Stop thinking. Don't let your mind fix it.
Totally.
Go to a doctor, you freak. Yeah. Basically.
Get some antibiotics if you have an infection.
I can beat this. My pussing open sore. I can definitely beat this.
Get some meds. Don't think it out. Less popular line in the Rita book song.
Man. Well, Keith, you're dying.
Yeah, no, my daughter... Sorry, guys. My daughter psychosomatically fell and smashed herself.
Did you tell her it's all in her head?
Yeah.
I just hit her a couple times, and she's better now.
Well, you know what? I have a doctor's appointment on June 3rd with a new doctor. He's a talk-it-out kind of guy. I'm going to sit down.
Great. That'll help.
I'm going to sit down, tell him everything that's wrong with me, get every test possible.
See, I think Keith is changing doctors because the doctor's not telling him what he wants to hear.
That's the craziness. Hey, I think there's something wrong with him. I'm taking a look. No, there's nothing wrong. No, seriously, look, there's something wrong. No, there's nothing wrong. I'm going to a different doctor that's going to take advantage of the insurance and give me something.
But this is the thing. If you suggest, look, you have really bad acid reflux, you know, like... It's
a horrible, horrible problem.
It could be, it could lead to something more dangerous. You should probably get scoped. Okay, when? Well, not yet. Okay, well, I wheeze when I eat. That's all right, well, you should definitely get scoped then because that's not good. Okay, when? Well, let's wait a couple months and see. When you come back in August, I know doctors say, like, you know, don't detect cancer early. It's much better to wait until it's ravaged your whole body. That's your best chance of survival. But, I tend to disagree.
It's weird. The conversation that you're having with your doctor is the same one that I'm having in my head with my imaginary doctor. Like, no,
is he good?
Wait. You don't have to go.
Will he see me as a new patient?
it sucks that you have to go see the doctor and he tells you not to do anything about it. Like, why exactly. even bother going to see
well,
the doctor?
I was all revved up. I was going to say, honestly, to her, can I go today, like, to get this done? Because I'm in a doctor going, I'm in a taking care of business type of mood right now.
Look at you.
Look, I'm on mindtraining.net and it says your mind controls areas such as your health, personal life, business, success, relationships, sporting achievement, and anything else you could think of. The inner power is always there.
Is it because I have a weak mind that Dan Marino never won a championship?
Exactly.
Is that what happened?
Exactly, Chris.
You're also getting your medical advice from some internet hippie website, you know, loveyourmind.com.
It's Brian's parents, actually. That's their new website.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think maybe you should get scoped. Maybe they should see what's up with you. Maybe your doctors suck. But I do think that a lot of your problems are all contained firmly within your head, and they've manifested out onto your body as a result.
I hope so, because I've achieved nothing at 34 years old.
I was going to say, it's not in a good way. I think you probably do have legitimate physical problems because of your crazy head screwing your body up.
That's what Vanessa was suggesting. You know, if your mind can be used as a tool to kind of overcome these things, and the internet is like a network of different minds... Like, what a powerful tool the internet could be to solve all of your health problems.
You are such a nerd.
Like, you could stop going to the doctor.
I hate that everyone, when somebody asks,
got all those minds, if you could.
I have this symptom, and I know I have to go to the doctor, but my appointment isn't until next week. Does anyone know what this is? Every answer is always, well, I recommend
cancer.
You really see a doctor. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Because they know that person has no intention of going to the doctor. They want to cure it on Google.
But you're right, Brian. Just the act of going to the doctor, taking time out to do it, it's such a process. Like you said, Chris, a harrowing experience. You have to see people.
It's great, though. It's great. So now I'm totally turned around on it. The guy who was on this show a year ago that would avoid a doctor at all costs is a different dude than who sits here today.
Really?
I am all about the doctor. I got no problem. I go to dentist. You know what? I don't particularly care for the dentist, but I'll even go to him. I actually go to the dentist fairly regularly now. But... I don't care about any of that stuff now. I'll get scoped. I'm gonna have them look up my ass next.
Really?
Know? I'm gonna have it all done.
You're gonna go to the same exact guy too?
No. And I want them to use a different tool.
I was gonna say he's gonna use the same camera.
Well, no, you did it in the right order though, so they could reuse it.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
That is.
But yeah, none of this stuff bothers me now. I want to get checked out. I want to live.
See,
I want to live. You could live.
See, it's not that even, like, I'm scared of the doctor or the dentist. Like, I know that I have to get some pretty major procedures done at each of them. But it really is just the pain in the ass factor. I, you know, at this point, I actually have to find a doctor and then go visit a doctor and then go through the whole rigmarole of giving him my history and answering all kinds of questions. And then we can get down to, like, here's all the information.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
That's, like, 2 or 3 days off of work.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Die instead.
You know,
I used to think like that.
I think the internet could heal me.
Now every day I say, please, please,
put an Ethernet cord in your ear, and everything will be fine.
There you go.
Every single day I say, please, let's let me be okay. I'll go for a physical every 3 months.
Ask Jesus a lot. Say, oh God, please, God.
Well,
I swear to God,
to?
I'll be in church this weekend. Just do what you can to get rid of this reflux.
Who do you think I was going to talk to? Allah? He hates me.
He doesn't hate you. It's just your freedom that he hates.
No, it's my way of life, actually.
Okay, well, it's much of a difference. Yeah, so, like I said, great experience.
Kick off the plane, will you?
I think all of you guys really should see doctors as much as possible. I think it's awesome. I think you should get scoped. I think you should get drugged. You can have a great experience like I did. You go, you do it. Like I said,
we should just get drugs and.
Yeah, well, honestly, let's just cop. Let's just go cop right now. That by going to a doctor, I mean doctor.
Dr. Feel Good.
Ew. ew. There's so much ew coming from you. Man, the internet's such a powerful tool. Dr. Feel Good. Yeah.
I'm going to go on Wikipedia and do a root canal.
Wikipedia told me I'm sick.
Oh, my God. But no, they said.
I actually went on Sickopedia.
They said you were mad sick, though, because of your taste in music.
Oh,
you didn't understand.
Because of that Dream Warriors album I bought.
Oh, my God. Can I borrow it? Could you make me a tape? Could you dub me a copy?
I will definitely make you a tape.
What is the Dream Warriors?
Oh, next week it's the outro music. We actually had it as outro music on our show before, I think.
Yeah, we definitely did. But I could find it to play during
the show. Honestly, we could play it every week.
If I could ever get access, virus-free My computer right now is
oh my god, now he's got viruses. His brain is all screwed up. It's spread to his PC.
Would it be insulting if I said my computer is more infected than a San Francisco bathhouse right now?
slightly.
Then I won't say it then.
That was a close one. Yeah, so good times were had by all. Getting scoped. Our professionalism.
That's my favorite new slang, by the way. Okay. What you doing? Yeah, getting scoped.
Yeah. So my other two highlights of the event, and then I'll drop this topic. Were my other two highlights were as I was going to, as I was waiting for my drug-in, while I was just sitting there with my with all my monitors being put on me and whatever, as I'm sitting in the room waiting. The woman who was in the room next, who was sitting in the chair next to me before we were brought into our procedure rooms, who I knew was there for a colonoscopy, was brought to the room directly across from me, and they left her door open and my door open basically they opened up the back of her robe, and I got to see her 73-year-old black wrinkly ass just staring me in the face for a good minute and a half, and I was just like, what do I do?
When God closes a door, he opens a window.
Honestly. Yeah, so I got to see a little bit of that. And the other thing that I really enjoyed about the whole experience was my favorite. I told you when I was getting pushed out, my RN, my nurse, banged me into the door. And, knowing that I'm semi-drugged, she was speaking fairly freely with the medical assistant that was with her. And she starts crying. And she's pushing me back to my desk. My little chair station, my recovery station. And, she walks away, and I look over at the medical assistant. I'm like, did something happen that I should know about? She's like, it's got nothing to do with you.
That's when I say, stop the procedure. I'm coming back. This lady's crazy. That would bug me out.
No, this was after. It was done. This is me waking up from being drugged. The woman's pushing me out of the room and crying.
How unprofessional.
I'm like, what in the hell? Dude,
if there was anything wrong with you, she wouldn't have thought the slightest about it.
She wouldn't have been crying over him, no.
No, but not that she was crying about me, crying over something I did. Maybe I swung at her while I was drugged. Like, I don't know.
You didn't know what you did.
What do I know? I was unconscious. I have no idea. Exactly.
Did you try to cop a feel or something like
you
that?
You rubbed one out during the procedure.
Exactly.
You had fret time during the procedure.
You kept saying cock to her over and over again.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Take it out. Oh, cock.
As is being suggested by our friend Bruce Leo in the chat room, I banged the nurse, and that's why she's crying.
So you never found out what she was crying about?
I asked. I'm just like, is everything okay? And they're like, it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you.
Is she the one that banged you against the door, as you said?
Yes.
Yes. So, was that before?
I mean, within seconds of each other.
Did you at all think that was related? Like, I'm gonna.
No, I think something happened during the procedure. Like, maybe the doctor yelled at her, or another nurse yelled at her, or something like that happened. And as a result, she was upset and disheveled, and as she was walking out, not paying attention, and banged me into a door.
Her father was killed by a humongous throat. That's how it happened.
Well, odd profession for her to choose, considering that's the case. But yeah.
Staten Island, the top medical care on Staten Island.
Wow. Yeah, Bovito pointed it out in the chat room earlier. This is the hospital that killed George Harrison,
And
well, I guess the cancer might have had something to do with it, but still.
His celebrated doctor, who was one of the top doctors on the East Coast, Dr. according
Lederman.
To the commercial, was the guy that forced him to sign an autograph and a guitar so he could sell it.
By the way, his wife is a dermatologist, and they took care of this nut that's on my wrist.
Seriously?
They made it bigger for you?
That's still there years later.
Okay, all right.
What did they?
I thought you mean like while you were under. They scoped your throat and they removed the skin tack.
But the thing is, when you got that removed, didn't you notice right afterwards that it was still there?
Well, they didn't remove it. They shot it with hydrocortisone.
And it was supposed to disappear eventually?
It was supposed to shrivel over a couple of days.
They didn't put an implant in it?
Yes, they did. They put a little robot nub in there.
Maybe they mixed it up. They Botoxed it instead of hydrocortisone. That's
probably it. They put silicone implants in my wrist.
Steroid. They did a cycle.
Take some of that Ramipril blood pressure medicine. It'll tighten up and disappear in no time.
Awesome. That's what I'm looking for. So that's about it.
Well, congratulations, Chris. You're healthy, man.
Yeah.
You're a healthy man.
I feel a little bit healthier. I have had one recurring problem the whole time as I've been doing it. Is right after the procedure, I told you I was feeling this weird feeling in my chest, and I have this odd ringing in my ears that I hear this sound over and over again. It's terrible. It's embarrassing, even.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Hey Donna, did you hear that I got scoped? They got me some drugs, not quite as good as dope.
You wanna hang? Me and Donna and Dope. What's up, buddy?
That one was good, I think. I mean, I saw it coming, you know.
Like, oh, well, you know, they're all telegraphed. They're all telegraphed at this point.
Yeah, it always happens sometime around noon.
It's usually, though, you have the setup, you see it coming, and then everyone stares at each other, and then you yell at Brian because no music is playing, and that one worked.
All right, we're almost there. We almost pulled up. So what's up, buddy? Where are you today?
Well, I know the Best in Show staff and audience likes to be kept up on the latest news in drugs and sexual perversions, so let today's report serve as a warning for any of you who have turned to toxic toad venom to extend your sexual performance. I'm at New York City's Poison Control Center, where a serious warning has been issued about a product called Jamaican or Black Stone, a resin sold in specialty shops, which is meant to be applied to your manly parts in hopes of extending their operating time from minutes to hours. A 35-year-old man who ingested the hard brown substance died earlier this month after being hospitalized for chest and abdominal pain. Health officials say the hardened resin made from venom from poisonous toads contains chemicals that can disrupt heart rhythms. The same type of product killed one man and made several others seriously ill in the 90s. Though meant to be applied topically and not eaten, officials stress that there is no safe way to use this product. So if you're feeling insecure about your prematureness, no toad venom. Just get yourself some Viagra like everyone else. For Best in Show Radio News, I'm Vanessa Cheatwood.
I seem to distinctly remember when I was in high school that my buddy Matt and I were convinced that we had to find toads to lick them for some of their toxins to actually make you high.
That's a common thing.
Is that similar?
It's been on every cartoon. It's been on The Simpsons, Family Guy, but I think it's actually a real... I don't know if it's a real thing or an urban legend that if you... I'm sure it doesn't work either way, but I don't know if people actually have tried it.
But that would explain why, after I finished licking the toad, when I started licking my friend, why it lasted so long afterwards. It's all tied in together. Yeah, I never
heard of this manly... isn't that what horny goat's weed is supposed to do, the same thing?
There are many products, natural, quote-unquote natural products, that are meant to desensitize the parts, and
icy hot.
If you have less sensitivity, you're supposed to last longer.
Ironically, you mentioned icy hot when you say it. The same guy that I was trying to lick toads with to trip, he was in a band and playing hardcore music, and because he wasn't really a big fan of hardcore but wanted to be the angry guy on stage, he used to put Tiger Balm on his balls before he would go out on stage so he'd be mad.
I knew a friend of mine who sprayed his stuff with bug repellent once. And it did the same. It had like virtually the same effect.
What was
purpose?
His band?
Yes, yeah. He was spraying it so that no bugs would come. He was.
Why would there be bugs on his balls? Camping?
Yes, actually.
Stop it. Live in a house, people.
Oh my God! I'm looking at this. Oh, they said this Alvarez frog. If you massage its head around its eyes, a milky white gland will come out, and you take that milky white fluid will come out of its glands, and you take that milky white fluid, and you put it on a plate, and when it evaporizes, it crystallizes, and you smoke it.
Oh, that's the toad that people are licking. You're not supposed to lick it. You're supposed to burn it out. I think Max crashed in our chat room.
And then as soon as it's done evaporizing, then you can stabberate it with its face.
Oh, that's gross. It'll get you high.
Who gave Fred the internet?
Somebody that wanted him to cure cancer. They knew his cancer was acting up, so.
The mind is a terrible thing to waste, Vanessa.
Hey, you know what? We got a Jenkins story out of it, so I'm not worried.
But who would really want to last for hours? I mean, is that like a real thing?
I'm sure it's a real thing, but we're
Sting can do it.
But that's he doesn't do it. He doesn't eat toad's ass to do it. He does calisthenics before time. So that means
he just is a toad's ass. That's how he does it.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never felt the need to do
go
it.
3 hours.
Oh God, the quicker the better,
right? Isn't it?
Minutes.
Keith, you? When was the longest you ever lasted?
Ever lasted?
Yeah.
I love House of Pain.
Yeah, last forever.
Not hours. Not even. I guess maybe, and I don't know, like an hour. Or something?
No way! Get out of here!
No, I'm talking about any time recently. I'm talking about a long time.
What was
time
his
ago.
Name?
He wasn't in a very attractive
An
guy.
Hour.
maybe not an hour, like 45 minutes, though. Because I was amazed once when I looked. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be like, hey, I'm just the cat.
You're talking about, okay.
You know, like, I recommend no girl ever try to get involved with me in that way, but...
You're talking coitus. Stopwatch goes, go.
No, I'm talking like, hey, you want to come over?
Yes.
40 minutes. That's what I thought.
From the cab ride over to tipping the cab driver.
She lived 40 minutes away, for the record.
Right after you finished putting your makeup on and going out. That's when the
No, this.
I think for a half an hour, though, but I, you know.
Get out of here.
That's long.
Speaking from
Wow, I feel so good about this
right
now. Wait, sorry, saying Vanessa?
Speaking from the girl's point of view, nobody wants that. To go on for hours, you know, like
My wife now would
40. If it's 40 minutes later, it's like, oh, get off me! Like nobody wants
this. That's what I told him. But
there's got to be chafing involved. There's no way that you're gonna keep the mood up that long to keep it lubricated. It's awful.
You know what,
it's
man? I got to tell you though, right now, this is the first sexual pride I've ever had in my life. Right now, so I'm gonna roll with it.
Yeah. Were there drugs involved?
I was just about to say, if you were high
because
at the time, I understand.
Because that interferes with things.
Thanks for ruining my fun, Vanessa.
So
were toads involved?
Now, there absolutely weren't drugs involved.
In the years of your sobriety, which are, well, my record since then, 45 seconds. Straight, though. Straight. I didn't stop in the middle. Well, not too long in the middle, anyway.
Yeah, if it reaches 15 minutes, I'm making myself a little trophy.
I mean, 15 minutes is long, man. I'm like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes is the longest. And usually it's probably about 1 minute.
Does the 10 minutes include the 8-minute nap that I take before?
Yeah, well, since the tiger was let out of the bag, so to speak, or since the dragon was chased out of the bag. Guys, I would never condone drug use, but if you want to be able to just go for hours and hours.
Don't lick a toad. Cop a bag.
Mainline in your junk.
Yeah, but now you're just nodding out in the middle of it. It doesn't even really count.
Yeah, but
you're just in coitus and sleeping. I mean, that's not really... Like,
that feels great. Could you think of a better way to wake up, though? Oh, God. Oh, look where I am! Like,
You've never fallen asleep during it anyway, though. I definitely have. And it wasn't drug-related.
Oh, my God!
Really, Keith? That is bad.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
You fell asleep
I won't name anyone's name, but not that you know them anyway. But yeah, I did fall asleep.
You fell asleep during
sex? Wow.
Yeah. Was the person bummed out?
Did they wake you up in anger?
The
person was probably really proud. Really proud. Wore it as a badge of honor.
Were you...
Was she like a dead fish? No,
it wasn't her fault. I don't know what it was.
Were you on top?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
What?
And she wasn't smothered to death?
No, I was skinny back then.
How do you do that?
It wasn't a knock on her in any way. It wasn't a knock on her in any way, literally. Not for long, anyway.
You didn't have your coffee that morning?
How could that happen? Like, in the middle, you're on top. I can kind of understand if you're not driving, you know what I mean?
And even better, once I thought it was going to happen again, so I...
Oh, so you...
I definitely pretended it was over, so to speak.
You fell asleep and then... Oh, my...
See, that is great. You faked it. Have you ever faked
Only
it, Chris?
Once.
Have you ever faked it?
And you're a believer.
Yes, indeed, I have.
You faked it?
Yes, indeed.
For what reason?
This is going to come off bad.
Good
this is going to come off a little bit bad. There was a lovely young lady that I was involved with after knowing her for at least maybe an hour or so. And
she wanted your baby.
And as we've already talked about, Maya, we'll get there in a minute because that's really where the story does go. My aforementioned prowess of lasting for so long, I finished real quick. But was embarrassed about the fact that I was finishing. So when I finished, I tried to keep going afterwards.
Okay.
And then after I tried to keep going afterwards, like, I was starting to go limp, quite honestly. So I had to come up with a fakie. I was trying to get myself ready to go again, and I just couldn't do it. So I had to come up with a fakie, like, oh! And that's how.
Did you, shudder a little bit?
Wait, you were trying to just, like, muscle through it and hope that it would, like, come back to life?
Right. Well, so I've heard stories of men that can do it like adults, not me.
I'll tell you right now, talk about powers of the mind. If I start thinking of that, if even the thought of like, going limp, so to speak, if I start thinking of that, then it's definitely bound to happen.
Yeah, well, I think that's normal. I don't think that's a bad thing. Well, I don't think
it's
an abnormal
thing.
I don't think it's an abnormal thing, I guess is what I'm saying.
Did she know that you faked it, Chris, just real quick?
Did she know that I faked it?
Yeah, did you ever tell her?
No,
or did she never know?
No. Well, I mean, she found out about a month or so later when we found out that she was pregnant, but...
See, the angle I thought was she wanted your baby, so you faked an orgasm inside of her.
No. She didn't want the baby, but she got it anyway. Luckily for us, she miscarried about 6 months later, so everything was fine.
Luckily for you, I think. Probably not so much for her.
Yeah, because I'm sure she would have been thrilled to be straddled with my kid for the rest
of
her life.
Right, but I can't imagine a miscarriage is very...
That sentence just froze me. sentence just absolutely froze me. All right, maybe
not 6 months. It was like 2 months, something like that.
No, it wasn't the time. It was the luckily for us part.
Luckily for us, she miscarried. I think that was the part that...
Maybe she faked it, like you did. Maybe she faked it, Chris. Did you ever think of that?
It's true.
Maybe she faked the miscarriage because you faked the O.
It's a very good point.
Like in Retribution?
Yes.
Mind you, this is a different time in my life. I was 17 years old at the time.
She definitely faked it.
Though. Yeah. And I find out years later, because she still talks to a friend of mine, that was her introduction to the world of sex. I took her virginity that night, and this was her experience into sex. Some dude... gets up, bangs, rolls over in the middle of it, goes to sleep, and then you're pregnant. And then, then you miscarry.
If the Catholic Church had their way, then that would be every girl's introduction to premarital sex.
Yeah.
Put an end to it once and for all.
Yeah, it was just a bad...
What was the time lapse between the first real one, and the second fake one? Wouldn't it be so quick? Why would you have to fake a second one?
Oh, like because I tried to convince myself that I was going to keep going.
Well, how long did you go before like you faked it?
Maybe a minute and a half.
So why even fake?
But I wasn't
going to fake. You got to stretch it out a couple.
I was
more
not
minutes.
Doing. I wasn't. Yeah. Well, my friend was not cooperating.
Well, you had to. Okay.
It wasn't cognitive thinking that I was doing at this point. Obviously, because the fact of the matter is, I accidentally was in there when I finished one. I didn't even think I was finishing. So, like, trust me, it wasn't like I was trying to power through it and then ignoring the fact. I tried to ignore the fact after it had happened. Yeah. It wasn't like, screw it, I'm going to get this girl pregnant, I'm just going to blow a load, whatever. That's not what happened. It was just like, oh, my God, that really just happened. Crap. We don't want to let her know this is what happened. I'm just going to keep going and, like, kind of fake it type of thing. And
Vanessa, did you ever fake it?
As we discussed last week, I'm very good at the faking.
The miscarriage. I don't know, I guess.
No.
No, but when you were with a man, like in the actual act.
Did I ever fake? I was trying to remember last week because I was talking about it, and I think maybe I have before, but only because I knew I was never going back, you know?
Okay.
Like, you're in a situation, and you're just like, this isn't, I just want this to be over with, and so, yeah.
Sounds so hot.
So, you know, I don't remember a specific time of faking it, but I'm thinking it must have happened at some point. But I would never fake it with someone that I intended to be with repeatedly, because you're just doing yourself a disservice.
Yes.
Well. I actually did it twice, I think, now that I think of it. I'm remembering another time, because once I got accused of did you just fake that?
What I don't understand is how could you fake it, though?
Same girl? It's because you broke her trust the first time?
No, the second time I actually played it off better.
But it was the same girl,
who's
now doesn't trust you and keeps asking, are you faking it?
Think so.
What do you mean? How would you think?
Why did you fake it the second time?
No, I think it was the same person, I'm saying.
Okay.
But the second
is it
time...
the same
no
person
matter-
you fell asleep in? You're a monster.
Batting a thousand.
You are doing great for her ego. I'm telling you, she's probably just...
This person
she's a lesbian
will never ever
now.
Be listening to this show ever, so it doesn't matter.
She's now a lesbian.
That's what you think. Coming into the studio at this point,
I was
welcome
to
the show.
I think that's how you make a lesbian, right there.
That's very good. See, I helped out the gay cause. Well, Chris, I made up for my little bathhouse comment before.
Chris just asked how you could fake it, and this is how you could fake it, Chris. Oh, yeah!
Like, the big Hogan?
You could totally fake it. Well, even the real ones seem fake.
But wouldn't there need to be...
I really hope that's how it happens.
Physical evidence?
Well, if you have something on, if you have a prophylactic on, you could just throw it out before they look at it.
Ew. Prophylactic on? You guys are gross.
You grab it and toss it, and that's it. And then no one's ever going to go. Even if they love you more than anything in the world, they're never grabbing that thing for proof. Because no matter what they say...
I did this. Look what I did.
Girls hate us, and they hate that we do that, and they hate the
White-ass Brad in the chat room suggests that maybe you could just pee in her. Second time.
I was just about to say that's so good.
Oh, my God. Vanessa, any response?
You guys are gross.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
It's just pee-pee. It's friends.
What about, what was the shortest you ever lasted?
Who, me?
Well, anyone in the room can really ask.
Well, you looked at me, so I don't know if you were asking me or Vanessa.
I was more of just being attracted to you that I looked at you.
I've probably pulled off like a minute.
Really?
I've definitely pulled off a minute.
I'm like, my first time I ever did it, I think maybe 3 strokes.
Yeah, well.
It was like horrible.
That's like a minute to Chris.
I had a teenage experience where someone, there's a whole lot of buildup, you know, and you're really going to do it this time, and here you're going to do it, and like on the way in, like it just was over. Oh. Like it just,
the pre-jack.
Like trying to, yeah, it was done.
He
almost cried. Like, it was
oddly enough.
I didn't cry.
I've definitely did it, I've done on the way in, but during a change of position. Okay. The position changed, and then when I got back in. I was probably like a minute or two into the whole thing, and then as we switched it up, as I was going back, I was like, well, I guess I don't really need to be here anymore.
I've done, and this was definitely with the same person, so I've done where, and maybe I guess this is a compliment to the same person, but I've definitely done in and done. And this was not, I was not a teenager, it wasn't like a first time kind of thing.
I've had my hair trigger events as well, not quite as bad as what Vanessa is describing, but I guess I'm lucky enough that I can usually kind of work through that. Like I can remain active until the next one, if I'm making any sense. Usually, sometimes. Once in a while.
I never, knock on wood, I never had the pre-jack.
I read about it.
the pre thing is so embarrassing. I've never had it, thank the Lord.
Yeah, you know, I've had that.
You've had that too?
Actually, that's the time I'm thinking of. Come to think of it, it didn't even, and I hate describing, you know, like I'm sure everyone listening wants to hear me describing why I put it in, you know, like, but it wasn't even an entrance and done. Story. It was like, where's the entrance? Oh, right there. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Vanessa, I'm looking on the internet. I can't find anything. Do girls pre-jack, too, or no?
What do you mean? Like,
have you ever prematurely ejaculated? Not that it matters. I mean, you can kind of, like, keep going.
Can girls? I don't know if girls can.
I don't know that. I mean, anytime a girl gets off, that's just success, right?
Exactly.
I mean, what would be too early?
Like pre-coitus, did you ever just sort of like, okay, it's gonna happen, and then it happens for you? Not that it would be over, but
you just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just gonna say
the answer is yes.
Any enjoyment that a young lady has had with me, any achievement of not completion, obviously, but any sort of explosiveness that's happened with a lady with me has happened before anything's happened. It's all the pre business that takes care of that for me. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That makes, I kind of want to cry a little bit.
I've been threatened. Don't let that happen too soon. I'm
just like, yeah, that's the worst.
Wait, yours?
Okay.
That's the worst right there.
No.
Oh, wait, a female said, don't let me
don't do it too soon?
Keith, if I come too quick, you're dead.
You'd better not do anything that's going to make that happen too soon.
You better not be good at this. Stop being good at this.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Luckily, he's not good at all, so there's nothing to worry about.
I said, not a problem. You'll be reaching for the batteries momentarily.
Oh, man.
So in summation, sex is good when it's shorter. Girls pre-ejaculate.
I don't like short girls.
And Keith is definitely should be arrested. Somebody has a big lawsuit on Keith.
I agree on all.
I can't believe that girl kept coming back for more. Like, describing all the situations
masochist.
He had with her.
Well, she wanted to come back for some. Eventually, she think it would work.
She's playing the odds. It's got to work somehow.
All right, he's faked 5 times now. One's got to be real eventually.
Awesome. So, I don't know. Does this report get any sexier than this, or is that the sexiness?
I have a weird story that's kind of related to my news story.
I think it
so.
Gets
I guess it just got sexier. What's going on, buddy? What's your PS?
It's not really sexy, but okay. So last week, I think I mentioned that drugs would often be involved in a guy's decision to have girls come over and be naked. And there was one time where I thought that I might end up on the 11 o'clock news because someone was going to actually die in my presence. And it was... So this guy was in one of those really classy hotel rooms where there's like a mirror above the bed and a jacuzzi in the room.
Champagne glass.
Just off the freeway.
It wasn't shaped strangely. You know, it might. I want to remember it as a heart-shaped jacuzzi, but I'm probably embellishing.
It was just all the blood.
Another young lady and I show up. He has asked for two girls to come over, and so we show up, and he's doing a whole, like, blue velvet thing. He has ether, and he's putting it on a handkerchief and breathing in ether.
You mean amyl nitrate?
Hey, yeah. Ether could do that.
Ether will make you all sleepy. Amyl nitrate will make you all...
Yeah, no, he was kind of falling unconscious.
Yeah, it's ether.
Yeah.
It was chloroform.
Same thing.
So,
it made it so a plant could breathe? Oh, wait, that's something else.
So it was one of the grossest, one of the times where, you know, me and the other girl are looking at each other going, like, human beings are disgusting, like, this guy is the most horrible person we've ever met, and he just has us sitting there. We're sitting there in lingerie, and he's breathing in, and then he would kind of peter out, you know? He would swoon a little bit, and then he'd come back, and then he'd look at us again and maybe say something.
Don't you look at me.
It was supposed to be dirty. I don't know, just something stupid. And then he'd do it again. So at one point, he decides we were laying on the bed, and then he decides he wants to get in the jacuzzi. So we're all sitting on the edge of the jacuzzi when he does this again. He breathes in, completely passes out, and takes a full-on, like, header right face down into the water. And she looks at me like she's about to bolt for the door. You know, it's like, this guy's just died. He's drowning in this pool, and we're out of here because I don't want to be around to be interviewed. And, so I had to, I was like, okay, we can't let him die in the water. So I pulled him out and, like, threw him on the chest and, like, smacked him in the face and brought him back around. And,
it's an extra 50.
And he thought it was fantastic. Like, that was, like, the best. That's exactly what he was going for.
Maybe he faked it and that's what he wanted.
Maybe it wasn't ether, maybe it was helium.
So you saved somebody's life.
By the way, it's being asked in the chat room by White Ass Brent, was he a good tipper?
Yeah, he gave us a bunch of money.
That's called.
Thanks for not letting me die.
I think that's called hush money. Yeah. That's what that is.
When the wallet of somebody on ether is laying there, he's a great tipper.
Was this before Hunter S. Thompson wrote Fear and Loathing? Or
wow, that is crazy.
So I
did you guys drink Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Blue Velvet's a good thing, because that was a very David Lynch story that Vanessa just told.
Except she didn't get punched.
I wish you guys could see the room, too, because it was, like, it was totally, like, 70s decor. You know, everything was, like, black and mirrored and shiny chrome and just, like you walk in, and you never know what you're going to walk into, you know? I mean, it's like, all right, you're meeting some guy in a hotel. You walk in, and it's like, oh, it's this. and then we were there, like, 3 hours. So it was, like, 3 hours of that.
Wait, so 3 hours until this moment, or after that moment, it continued?
It continued after that moment.
Oh, my God, that's the best thing ever.
And that was the big turn on for it. After that, he was like, he was pumped. He was ready to go for, you know.
Well, isn't that the answer? Wow. Like, if you got a guy passing out on ether, isn't the clock running? You know, don't you just tell him it's been 6 hours?
Yeah, that was at some point he wasn't ready for us to leave, and we'd had enough. It was like, I don't care how much money there is, I got to get out of this room. And at some point we just told him like that his time was up, even though it wasn't, and we left.
I want to know more about this, about these rendezvous, as the French say. What when you're there, like, what sort of, I mean, is it like similar? It's the same thing, like a bachelor party type show, just in a private atmosphere. Is that what's happening?
It can be if that's what they want. But sometimes it's just, you know, you're just going over there to talk. You know, sometimes it's like do this lingerie show. You know, so you're changing in and out of outfits.
Dude,
that was
so
this
sad.
this guy's thing that he said he wanted was two girls to come over with a bunch of wardrobe changes.
Well, Vanessa, why didn't your handler help the guy out? Was did you not have a handler there?
Not in the room for private shows.
You see, look at that. See, that's
outside in the car.
This is the moral of the story. Moral of the story.
There's a guy sitting in the car waiting for you outside for 4 hours, mm-hmm, while all this is going on.
Yeah,
he doesn't check in.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
the door.
There's no safety involved there. Then you're missing out on the safety.
No, he's safe. He's in the car.
He locks the doors. I forgot. He locks the doors while he's in the car. But yeah, like, I mean,
yeah, sometimes if it's a really good driver, they go to sleep too out there. So
yeah, but how does he know? Well, like,
sorry, what are the sirens?
When he comes up and knocks on the door and peeks in and he sees this ether orgy going on, how is he able to say, "Oh no, that's good," versus "Oh no, that's bad"? Like, what's to stop him from rushing in and knocking this guy out?
Apparently it's his laziness.
They look at us, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of weird scenes that a driver might interpret, yeah, as being, is this appropriate? And, you know, they're not in the room the whole time, so they look at the girl, and if the girl has the look in her eyes of, please, dear God, get me out of here, then
that's okay.
You know, but if it's like, oh, you know, he's just on ether, it's fine.
What if now, if you did give him that look, would his reaction be more like, I'm taking you out of here? Or would it be like, you step out, I'm going to beat the hell out of this guy kind of thing? Or was it strictly safety? Or were the drivers like looking to put a beat down on people?
No, you're just looking to get out of there.
Okay.
You're just, you know.
So what does he do? He just grabs you and tears you out of the room, and that's it?
Just says it's time to go, you know?
Right. So
you try to avoid a situation. You know, I never had anything turn bad in a private show where, you know, where I needed to be, like, forcibly removed.
So, but you have had the situations where you've been in there and had been like, yeah, you know what, this isn't going to happen. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did that guy didn't have to pay anything then? Right.
if I never went inside, then he doesn't.
But, right, I'm not saying it like mockingly. I'm trying to understand like what would happen in that situation. Like that has happened, that you've walked in and been like, "Yeah, this is too creepy." I knew, like, what was the too creepy of a situation?
The guy's holding the chainsaw when she walks in.
like knives. Or seriously, what could it be?
There was one where I walk in. It was a guy who immediately told me he had just been released from prison. Mm-hmm. And where he had served a very, very long sentence.
And he was looking to go back.
This was his first night out of jail, and he was obviously expecting a different sort of activity than what I was there and prepared to give. And the first thing he looked me up and down and said, and I swear he even had this accent, he said, "Been a long time since I've seen a woman." And I was like, "All right, I'm going."
Like, it's gonna be a little longer.
Yeah,
that's not the line you want to throw onto him, I guess.
I want to know if Vanessa had any stalkers. Like, did you have that one guy that would call you every weekend and be like, "I need to see Vanessa this weekend. I need to see her."
Vanessa, I stopped calling you.
There were many, many situations.
Oh,
like
toot
that.
Your own horn, Vanessa. Yeah, okay. A little egotistical.
You asked.
By the way, some of the questions that are flying around the chat room might ask Brent is curious if you've ever done a private party for a gay guy that wasn't sure if he was gay or not, that was seeing if he can get turned on by women, which I think someone would be insane if they actually went through the trouble to do that. But since he's asking, I'll throw it out there.
I had that situation, but from a woman who was trying to decide whether she was gay.
Infinitely hotter. Infinitely hotter.
Yeah, did it just so happen that her boyfriend was there watching?
If he was, I didn't see him.
Okay.
He was hiding well.
Or filming.
He was sitting in the car with your escort for the evening. Awesome.
And I think we decided she was gay.
Nice.
Wait, did you decide it or did she decide it?
I think she decided.
Did you make
in those experiences with a lady? Like, were there more than a few times that you were sent out for chicks or?
Yes.
You know, okay.
Lots of times, couples.
Okay.
Only a few times where it was just women by themselves, but uh-huh. Lots of times there were women there.
And in those experiences, were they dramatically different shows that were given, or was it basically the same standard fare that you gave either way?
Probably different. A lot more contact.
Yeah, more touchy-feely, I would say, right?
Yeah.
But that's what I don't get here. If the desire of the recipient is the same, I don't understand why it seems more tame and more acceptable for you to, you know, to feel up on them a little bit more and touch a little bit more, because you're still the same object of desire. It's just a matter of the gender of the recipient. I don't get that necessarily.
Because I liked girls.
Oh, okay.
So
then I understand. It's been cleared up. Thank you.
So, guys, who do you think is better at making lesbians, Keith or Vanessa?
Definitely Keith.
I would say.
Well, that girl actually had just left my house. And then
gee, I wonder if I'm gay.
She asks if you have a number. Do you know any numbers of any female strippers that could maybe, you know, I can go full four with this?
You hook her up on the satellite.
Awesome.
Thanks, Vanessa. Thanks for the stories again.
Excellent, excellent stuff. I'm happy. I've enjoyed it.
The bruising went down, Chris?
My bruising suddenly is gone. I've forgotten entirely about it. I love the idea of just private party stuff. I didn't know this existed, and I know we've talked about this. It just doesn't seem real.
Let's get one sent to the house. How could you not know that existed?
Vanessa, don't take this the wrong way, and I know that this is the thing. Not from a non-hooker. A girl that comes to a house to do something, I would always think would be a hooker, which, you know, I didn't know that there were girls that would come to your house and that would be above boards and just be naked and tease, basically.
Aren't you the cynic?
But yeah, but I wouldn't know that was the
Chris,
case.
There's people that come to your house to clean your house, too, you know.
No,
you
they're
pay
hookers.
Them, and they don't have sex with you at all.
Have you been in my house? No.
I mean, people come to your house.
Wait a second.
Pick you up in a cab.
My girlfriend lives in my house. We never have sex.
Is that why that cleaning lady got so pissed off at me last week?
When you fell asleep on top of her? Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's just a world of magical things that are out there that I never knew existed.
Are you intrigued to get one to the house and see what she does?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I want to do. I would like a stripper to come and go into my daughter's bedroom. That's what I'm looking for.
Vanessa,
right,
are you free Sunday? Are you free next Sunday? After 2.
I believe she is about 12 o'clock-ish. I'm hoping. I hope. Because if not, the best part of the show won't be here next week. Vanessa, if people want to check out your blog, that's all blogging.
Now, I think everybody should just come over and hang out with us at the Hear Us Talk Forum. I think that's the place with all the action.
All right. In all honesty, the Hear Us Talk Forum has picked up. It's gotten hot. It's gotten heavy. Our buddy Eric Ryan, by the way, recently promoted to super moderator over at hearustalk.com. Thank you very much.
And, what is super moderator? What does that mean?
It just means something on the internet. I don't necessarily understand it, but it happened.
I just started using it a day ago. So
I was going to say, are you even a member, Fred, yet? Have you signed up for it?
No,
at
he
all?
Is. No, the last member joined 2 months ago.
I still go to bestinshow.com.
.tv. Tobago.
Bestinshow.com, you go and look at the pictures of Christopher Guest. And
that's great. That dog show movie is awesome.
Yeah, it's basically, I think what it means is his name is a different color now than everybody else's. It's like Pal Talk. It's like a funny little magic thing.
Well, he can also ban people and do all kinds of crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think we do that. I don't think we have
not
any.
That we ever
have. I don't think that banning is even an option.
Will swastikas be allowed on the Heroes Talk forum?
Maybe.
I swastika best in show. That
will not be allowed. Our name and swastikas will not be associated with each other, but swastikas on their own, feel free. Come on, enjoy yourselves over at hearustalk.com, H-E-R-E or H-E-A-R. It's great. Vanessa, as always, fantastically captivating report and sexy as sin.
All right, thanks, guys. See you next time.
I didn't know.
When you guys pointed at each other, I thought there was some sort of pre-production thing. That's why I didn't talk.
I was trying.
I did too. I heard the buzzing, but then I realized it was this.
Yeah. You realized it was the beehive that you're sitting on?
A bee might bite me.
Awesome. Let's see.
So that happened.
Yep. Yes, it did.
When you think,
no, I don't think it did.
When you think Vanessa's stories can't go any further, they do.
Yeah.
Like, it's, dude, the whole...
It's like an onion.
The whole private party thing, what, like it smells gross unless it's cooked?
No, it makes you cry.
Both those things are true.
I thought it was just all about fake news. Fake but funny news.
Wacky? Yeah. Wacky stuff?
Satire. Satirical.
Yeah, so last night, I know you guys don't like to talk about current events at all, but I really have to bring up the most important thing that's happened in my life in a long time. Last night was UFC 84 Ill Will. UFC 84 Ill Will. So you guys can turn off your radios now unless you care about MMA, which will mean me. Just me. An unbelievably great show last night that I enjoyed thoroughly. Maybe one of the...
Sports!
There you go. One of the finer shows I've seen in a long time. Spoiler alert. BJ Penn demolished Sean the Muscle Shark.
Okay.
Shirk for the lightweight title. He was only the interim champion since Sean Shirk had his title taken away for being on steroids. Huh. Sean Shirk comes back, and Sean Shirk was just like a dominant, scary, scary dude when he was on steroids, and he just got picked apart and destroyed last night by BJ Penn. It was fantastic.
Was that for the championship?
It was for the championship. That's the thing. BJ Penn was given the interim. He won the interim championship, and now he's actually the official champion. Now he's probably going to step up and wait and fight George St. Pierre next, which I'm very, very excited
now
about.
Now, what was his featherweight? What did the lightweight? I know that he won two. Didn't he win two in two different weights?
What's that?
Didn't he win a championship in two different weight classes?
BJ Penn stepped up in weight from lightweight to welterweight like 2 years ago, and he fought maybe even more than that, maybe like 5 years ago, 4 years ago. I don't even remember how long ago it was, and he fought Matt Hughes
for the
and it was a fight that was just like, you know what, man, BJ Penn's gonna get murdered, and he submitted Matt Hughes.
Yeah,
like he totally beat him and won his title, and then after the fight, kissed him. Which was one of my favorite things.
On the lips?
Kissed him on the lips. Whoa. To thank him after the match. Like, he didn't mean it in a bad way. Like, but last night, after he...
How would you kiss someone on the lips in a bad way?
I don't understand. He didn't do it to mock him. He did it in appreciation. Whereas fighters generally kiss each other to clown the other guy.
Regularly. Muhammad Ali kissed you. He wasn't kissing you to be, loving.
So no tongue is what you're saying? No,
well, not that was seen on camera. But last night, after BJ Penn destroyed Sean Shirk, although the fight did end under weird circumstances, but I'll talk about that later. And by talk about it later, I mean when we're in the kitchen, because
right,
no one cares.
Oh, all right.
But after the fight was over, BJ Penn's thing is, if he has his opponent's blood on him, he licks the guy's blood off of his hands.
What?
Regularly. Last night, after beating the living crap out of Sean Shirk, he had no blood on him. So he was running around holding his arms up, and then ran over to him, wiped his face so he could lick his blood off his face. He is an animal, and I love him.
Anyone here needs to go to a doctor. That it is him. He needs to go to a doctor. You could get so many diseases from that. That's
gross. Would think you would, but you also got to realize that before people could be in a full contact sport, you're supposed to. There have to be medical tests run on you that you have to know that somebody's clean that you're fighting.
Sure, but it's another person's blood. Like, I watched you in the hallway accidentally touch Freddie's armpits before the show, and almost reduce yourself to vomit. Like, literally, you stopped on the floor, threw up your hands, and screamed like a tiny little girl, and then ran for the sink and, like, washed yourself out.
For the record, let's say mid-sized girl. Mid-sized girl, okay?
Ooh, Freddie's
sweating! You want someone else to sweat on you? Don't get me wrong.
No, I don't, but...
I'm not suggesting that it's something that I want to do. I'm not suggesting that I'm going to be eating anyone's blood anytime. Oh, get out of here. Okay, now Fred's shirt is now circulating in the room. His sweat-soaked, disgusting armpit shirt.
I can't believe you still watch UFC. It's just been boring me for a long time.
Yeah, maybe because you're not watching it.
Really?
Maybe because you're not watching it, because it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Is it still good?
Oh, it's fantastic. Dude, I'm telling you, the guy licked someone's blood after the fight last night.
Awful.
Vanderlei Silva versus Keith Jardine.
Is that the spider with who they call the spider?
No, that's Anderson Silva, okay. The middleweight champion of the world. That's the guy who say there's a lot of weight changes. It's going to get very exciting in UFC. And I hate that I know that I'm talking to you guys about this, and neither one of you had the slightest bit of care about it.
Well, it's sports. I just want to see the
BJ Penn is going to step up in weight to fight the welterweight champion GSP, and GSP is going to step up in weight to fight the middleweight champion.
Who's the guy that looks like Mr. T that fights now?
That's actually Mr. T.
No, the black guy. Slice, what's his name?
Oh, Kimbo Slice.
Yes, that's who I want to see fight. That's the only person I want to see fight.
Kimbo Slice, he's fighting next week, I want to say.
For UFC or
no,
X?
No. He's still for Elite FC. Okay.
I love how Kimbo looks like Mr. T.
Yeah, he doesn't look anything like Mr. T at all. He's black. That's how he looks like him. He looks as much like Mr. T as Michael Jordan does.
Like Haywood Nelson does.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't look in the. He's. I mean, he has a beard, I guess, so maybe it's a little bit.
Have a mohawk at one point?
No, he's bald.
That has no hair.
He's bald.
Racist.
Yeah. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
He doesn't say pity the fool before he fights?
He does. And he says, Murdoch, you fool! And he needs to be knocked out before he'll get on a plane all the time, which I find weird. He's actually, if you get ESPN the magazine, or if you see a cover of it, he's on the cover of ESPN magazine this month, which is it's just exciting stuff.
I mean, he's never going to be beaten. Is he?
Oh, I don't think he's very good.
I thought he had been beaten several times.
He's been beaten once, and it was a street fight. In MMA, yeah. He has official sanctioned MMA fights. He has not been beaten as of yet, but he's only had like four fights. He's beating old guys. He hasn't faced a real competitor yet. Like he fought Tank Abbott, who's like 20 years past his prime, and in his prime he was a 50-50 fighter.
And Bo Cottrell or something like that. What's his name? Bo something. He fought
Tank
though.
Abbott
was horrible.
Sorry, Tank Abbott was a 50-50 fight. I thought he was like a greatest champion ever type of guy.
He's never won an Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Didn't you say he's never won a fight?
No, he was from the age of the tournaments.
Pansy.
And he never won a tournament. He got to the finals of the tournament once.
But he beat Jon Favreau on Friends.
That's true. That is true that he did pull that off. But yeah, he was never a great champion. Don't get me wrong, I loved the guy. I thought he was great, but he never like demolished a bunch of dudes or anything. I love naked Fred crawling from under
the
table.
Put a shirt on.
Put the pentagram on the back.
But yeah, so it was good. Yeah, so like I said, Keith Jardine versus Wanderlei Silva. Wanderlei Silva basically killed, and by basically I mean 30 seconds in, knocked Keith Jardine out cold. It was
Keith,
done.
Keith?
The Dean of Mean, okay. Keith Jardine. Sorry, you didn't know who he was until I mentioned his name.
He was in the Beach Boys, though.
Right. Yeah, no, it was a good show. It was a really good show. I enjoyed it. It wasn't a lot of great fighting. It was a lot of great knockouts.
UFC is blowing up. UFC is all over ESPN.
Word
now.
Dog.
It's blowing up big spot. No, it is.
It's off the chain.
That might
chain.
Be the first time I heard you said something was blowing up.
Really?
And it did make me a little uncomfortable.
I don't say blow up my to quit blowing up my spot or anything like that. I just say, which reminds me of something I have to get to. But I got ESPN insists on sending me their big giant stuffed magazine every week.
Oh, this month it's Kimbo Slice on the cover.
And
that's what
I was just
going to
say, Nancy. Oh, that's him on the cover too. I just saw his name.
No.
I didn't.
It's Mr. T.
The big black guy on the cover who's just standing there bald with a huge beard, that's Kimbo.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Terrell Davis.
It was. It was.
But, yeah, UFC's blowing up, though. And
Stop it.
That's all I have to say.
Word, dog. Word. Yeah, it was a good show. I suggest if you haven't seen it and you have the option to see it, I would go, I would rent the replay this week. Or you guys could actually, I could just put it on in here and we could watch it. I'll do a simulcast.
Yeah, do that.
I'll do a simulcast of it in our chat room. How's that? Can I do that? It's pretty illegal, but I'll do it anyway.
Don't do that. You know, speaking of Jon Favreau.
We were?
I saw Iron Man.
Oh, how was it?
That's really weird, because speaking of Jon Favreau, I saw Iron Man 2.
You saw Iron Man 2?
Not the sequel. I saw it as well.
I thought it was, Chris, perhaps you and I can have a point-counterpoint discussion here.
All right, are we going to go spoiler alert again? Are we going to talk about major plot points?
No, I'm not going to talk about major plot points.
Major plot points of a dumb superhero fighting things?
I actually enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a great movie, and I kind of want to see it again. I don't know if I'm going to pay for money to go see it.
Come sit at my computer to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did like seeing it in the major theater experience. That said, if it wasn't Martin Downey Jr.,
I think Morton Downey Jr. doesn't do a shirt
or Robert
show anymore.
Downey Jr.
It was Martin Sheen, actually.
If Robert Downey Jr. was not playing the lead role, that would have been a crap, shite movie. It was.
Oh, really? He saved the movie?
He was the movie. He made the movie. It was.
I don't like dumb superhero movies at all. I am not a comic book fan, surprisingly, other than Superman issue 676.
676.
676. I like that. I like all the other related super things. But I'm not a big comic book guy at all anymore. And I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I was expecting to be like one of those people that's just like, ah, whatever, and I didn't care. Like I thought it was good.
Wait a minute, Jon Favreau, the guy from Swingers, directed Iron Man.
Yeah, he's in it,
and he wrote himself into it a couple of times. Yeah,
oh, I thought Michael Bay made that.
No, it was Jon Favreau.
Wow, I didn't know he was a director. Did he?
He is so money, dude.
When did he become a director?
He actually directed. Was it Made?
He directed another movie before that.
And I think one more, even. He wrote Swingers and all that.
He didn't
stuff.
Direct Swingers? Oh, he wrote it. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The guy who did Go did Swingers.
Was it the Katie Holmes movie with the drug dealer?
Yes.
Is that Go? Sorry.
That guy did Swingers.
I don't know his name. Think. Michael Bay?
John Landis.
John Lennon.
Was it a good superhero movie, though? Was it better than, like, Spider-Man?
I wouldn't even go as good superhero movie. I think it was a good movie.
Really? I'm with Chris. I'm not a big fan of the whole comic book stuff. I end up going to see him just because I like seeing big blockbuster shows in the theater.
Very, very little bit of the dumb, stupid fighting crap that I hate to watch in movies for a half hour. There was fighting, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't
even
like...
Even the fighting was good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching the film. I'll call it a movie. It's not a film. It's not that good. But it's a movie. I enjoyed watching the movie.
If it wasn't Robert Downey Jr., it would have been unwatchable. I really think he made the show.
I thought that Gwyneth Paltrow was fantastic.
She was awesome. Come on.
I thought she was fantastic.
I said about Hugo Poole.
And I liked who was the guy? The other guy?
She was fantastic, did you?
I don't know.
You thought the guy who played the dude at the Big Lebowski?
Oh, he was good.
Yeah.
I liked he was good. But who's... No, the guy, the... Kimbo Slice. Who's the other guy?
Mr. T, I think.
But what was that guy's
name? That was the guy who played it.
Isn't that the guy from, like, Hustle and Flow? I can't think what his name is.
He was okay. He'll be in the sequel. He's going to be the... they do a little nod to it in the
Hustle
movie.
Hustle and Flow? Who is that?
The Hustle and Flow guy.
I know Hustle and Flow is, but I don't know who was in it.
The main black dude. The main black character with the mustache. Right?
Kimbo Slice.
The black guy in Hustle and Flow, you mean?
No, I mean...
Come on, somebody. Jeff Bridges. Jeff
Bridges. Oh, so when you said the dude, Jeff Bridges really was in...
Yeah, he plays the dude in it.
They had a shot from it, like... They played. They have the characters.
Samuel L. Jackson is being suggested. He does a cameo after the credits.
If you watch closely, there's a lot of like young pictures of the actors, and there's one of Jeff Bridges, obviously taken from Tucker.
I was going to say maybe King Kong.
He's Tucker because he's dressed up as like a CEO.
Was his dream there too, or just the man?
just the man. Okay. In this one.
Not I'm interested man. In seeing Edward Norton play the Hulk.
Hey, Ralphie boy.
Yeah, I have no desire
really?
To see the Hulk. After the last Hulk movie,
I was just going to say, didn't they do the Hulk with a guy whose name sounded like Bruce
Banner?
They're
ignoring the fact that exists. It was the guy who directed...
Michael Bay.
No, it was the guy who directed...
can he get one?
Ice Storm, and it was the guy
Ang
who directed...
Lee?
Ang Lee directed the Hulk movie. He was the Hulk, all CGI'd out.
It's so strange. Guys I would never expect to be directing action movies, directing... action movies.
Everyone hates the last Hulk movie. I really enjoyed it. Maybe because I'm just an Ang Lee fan, but I really liked it.
You're really stupid.
I like the Ice Storm. And
yeah,
I like the
Ice Storm.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
That was good as well. I'm a sucker for his movies.
But I don't think I've... Didn't he do something else all serious? Oh.
He did the gay cowboy thing.
Terrence Howard.
That's right, he did.
Terrence Howard is Mr. T.
And I just got there, too.
Terrence Howard is Mr. T in the new remake.
It's a new A-Team movie. It's coming out.
And his name in Hustle and Flow was DJ. Get that one, chat room.
Our buddy Space Edge points out that he hates all popcorn movies. I'll go so far as to say yes. I don't know. I think that Iron Man might actually be good enough to not be. It's not a great film, but it's better than the best popcorn movie. I think it was
a popcorn movie.
But I think it graduates beyond just being a popcorn movie because I thought it was a good film.
It's not just because I ate like way too much popcorn while watching it either.
Yeah, I'm not into like I said, I think it's worlds better than Spider-Man. I think it's worlds better than any crap like that.
You know what? I vote for Terrence Howard for the greatest character names ever. I'm just on his IMDb page here.
Is this a game show impromptu that's happening right now?
Sort of, but he was known as Choo Choo, T-Roy, DJ, that was Hustle and Flow, Bama, Trumpy.
Oh, he's in Crash, too.
Ray Millions, Duck, and Bah Humbug. That was some of the names of people. And Thurgood Marshall.
I'll tell you, talking about movies.
He was in Gilligan's Island?
Yes.
on the hottest of all lines, joining us for the finest program on Sunday mornings, Best in Show. Who's this?
Vito.
I think it was Vito. What's up, buddy?
Speak up.
Hi, it's me. You're speaking my language.
Yes, yes, we are superhero.
So, what did you see? You see the big dumb Iron Man movie?
I did see the big dumb Iron Man movie.
And what'd you think?
I liked it. I wouldn't say it was the greatest. You know, it's not Citizen Kane.
Okay, but as far as a superhero movie, that's what I'm saying. I think it graduates above just being like a comic book movie, but it's I put it into the category of like it's almost a film.
No, it definitely is. It's definitely got all of audience appeal. Like, it's got something for everybody. I mean, it seems like, you know, kids are going crazy over the idea of an Iron Man now. So it's kind of odd because Iron Man's not, at least historically in comics, he's not like the guy that can carry his own book. Even though he has his own book, it's not like a big seller. He works better as a
helper?
Supporting character.
Avenger?
As an Avenger, as in a supporting character for the Avengers.
Yeah, I'm not a comic book guy at all, but watching it, you know, seeing it, like I don't know the history. I don't know, you know, Tony Stark's
life.
What
is his powers anyway? Is he made out of iron? What is the power?
He built the suit.
That's it?
He built the fancy suit.
He smells like blood.
Vito, I think you're running low on gas.
So it's like Captain America, basically.
Sort of, but not really Captain America at all.
Yeah.
He's a communist, actually, Iron Man, so it's different.
I love that they took the traditional comic book route, and I thought like Jon Favreau would be a little like too above this, but they took the traditional sort of popcorn comic book route of just taking the world or our America's current like enemies in the world and making them the bad guys. Like it was clearly like an anti-terrorist movie.
Well, you got to understand, Brian, that when Iron Man was created in 1960, I guess 64 or so. We were in Korea, so the bad guys, instead of being the Islamic fundamentalists, were the Koreans, the North Koreans.
That's what the point I was making, is every time they come out with a movie, they're silly enough to like even go so far as change the original information to make our current enemy the enemy on there. Like, you could tell...
Exactly. Koreans are still bad. I mean, we all know that.
But you could tell, like, the day... Like, if this came out in the 80s, it would have been, you know, the Russian bad guys,
Russians,
and so on and so forth. And then I love, like, the second... thing about, like, they make the terrorists, I guess I am spoiling something here, they make the terrorists like
gay
waterboard the bad guys, and like it becomes clear that like clearly we're the people who are waterboarding the people that we kept in the jails, and they were turning our sins against us, and it's really things that bad terrorists do.
It's a bit of a mirror into society, this Iron Man movie.
So this film was almost like another, like you should look at yourself and understand.
Are you made of iron?
If I am my truest self, to whom shall the bell toll for?
I would say just the opposite. Jon Favreau is being an idiot by suggesting that terrorists are the waterboarders and not us.
Listen, Vito, get your carbon monoxide detector and put a 9-volt battery in it, man. Put a 9-volt.
Well, isn't Jon Favreau
fat?
Well, besides that,
I can hear you guys just fine. By the way, I don't know.
You don't. But yeah, and we also hear the beep that's going on in your background over and over again.
My battery's fine. I don't hear. I don't. You know what that beep is?
No.
That's a squeaky front door of Jim Hanley's universe.
Oh my god!
We get the plug in, pal.
Jim Hanley's universe on 33rd Street, Manhattan. Go and meet Vito Del Sante. Tell them that you love his comics.
Get Superman 677.
WD-40.
Yeah, that's really hideous. You should lock the door. Or leave it wedged open. Something. It's
or maybe
awful.
Fix it. Maybe fix it.
Yeah, that would involve going calling a doctor or something to fix it. Can't be bothered with that. Awesome. So you're in summation, Vito. Iron Man, yay. Hulk, nay?
Hulk, maybe.
Ooh.
Hulk, may.
Okay, where do you sit on the other Hulk? The
other Hulk is a
right
piece
up his
piece
lap.
Garbage.
You're a piece of garbage. You didn't like it at all? I think I'm alone on this one.
I think the worst thing you could do with the Hulk is try to set up a bad guy that he can't actually beat up, and it's all psychological.
That's what happened with the original one?
The bad guy in the first movie was his father.
And also himself, which was the point of the whole Hulk mythology in the TV show as well. he is right, his well, own bad know, guy.
Well, he's also trying to cure himself of, you know, his affliction, but at the same time, there's a part of him that loves that same affliction. You know, like that anger, that unchecked anger, you know, that that just can't be contained. You know what's funny? As a as somebody that, you know, watches buying habits, you know, and tries to kind of take a note of everything, black people love the Hulk.
Yeah, stretch that out. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
I think a lot of, you know, like, and more so than black people, for minorities, love the Hulk because I think they love the idea of unchecked anger against authority.
Is it because he's not white?
Yeah, maybe.
It's because he's big and ugly and like a monster.
No, oh, no, you see that getting controversial.
Well, because he doesn't.
Oh, that's getting controversial. Not the fact that all black people love the Hulk.
But the thing is, I guarantee you, if you did a poll in the middle of Times Square and you said, "What is your favorite superhero?" to, you know, everybody, more white people will say like Batman or Superman.
I don't.
But,
think...
Vito, listen to me right now. It's Fred.
There was a black superhero once.
After work, as you're walking to the subway or something, could you just do a little poll of everyone on the street and see what their favorite superhero is and make sure you hit a lot of minority people?
Record it.
Could you record
okay,
it on your
you
iPod?
Know what? I will do that. I will do that for the show this Wednesday, this Thursday, on Comic Book Day. I will, like, at the register, I will do a poll. I'll get names, you know, and, like, have people, you
and
know,
races.
Write stuff in.
And race. You need names
race
and races.
Race is very critical to this question.
What's that?
Race is critical to the question. You have to document the race.
Oh, of course. And you know, I'm going to, you know, make like a little poll.
And
I will
think,
do that.
And you think minorities are going to say Hulk over everybody else?
Make sure you get a wide enough representation of all the filthy mongrel races, too. Not just, you know, one or two of them.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course.
What happens when I walk out of the room?
Can I be your first?
What happens?
Can I be your first pollster?
No.
First of all, I'm white. I'd like to say
and
that for the record.
Your favorite is Amazing Man.
And besides Amazing Man, I was a big fan of the Hulk as a child. So I would like to go down.
How broad of a spectrum?
So,
how broad
okay,
of a spectrum?
So let me ask you a question, Keith. Who are you angry at?
Who was I angry at as a child?
Or now?
The man, obviously.
Oh, okay. not just your father.
How broad of a spectrum? So is it just you're going to be asking who is your favorite, or are you going to give them choices?
No, I won't give him choices. I'll just say, who's your favorite?
He's going to say, who's your favorite, the Hulk or David Duke?
I'll even get Taurus.
So what Vito is saying is, depending on what superhero you like, he could tell what kind of person you are. So
tell
if you
what
like,
color you are.
He can
tell
look what at
you,
and what if you type tell him, of person.
If maybe. While he's looking at you, you tell him what superhero you like, he will tell you your
race. Vito.
Okay, hey, what are each of your favorite superheroes?
I was going to start by asking Vito, but I think I already know Vito's.
I know his, yeah.
Vito, what's your favorite superhero?
You already know it. It's on my arm.
White man.
What, the Joker?
No, Batman, you dummy.
Hitler?
No, his other arm. His other arm.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, so Batman is Vito's favorite. Who's your favorite? You said the Hulk, Keith, is your favorite?
See, I was never a big comic superhero guy.
Oh, my God, that door. That son of a bitch
yeah, yeah,
door.
Yeah, all right,
get
all
some
right,
WD-40 right, in there. Stat.
So TV-wise, I always liked the Hulk. The thing I loved about the Hulk is that if he was getting, like, that's like a dream come true. Like, if you're, like, you know, three dudes to start with you on the street, and then you just turn into this monster and destroy them. For that matter, I could have loved Bruce Lee, too, but...
Yeah, I would love nothing more than becoming a monster immediately when you get mad.
And waking up with your clothes torn naked and not knowing what happened.
Yeah, basically my life already.
And looking at the girl and running away. But I'll go with the Hulk.
Who's your favorite, Fred?
You know what? I really like the Joker.
You're going to go for the villain.
Hero. Because he just seems like he's always having a good time. There's chicks around. He's pulling pranks. He's a good guy.
That's nice.
I'm sorry. I was always a huge Batman fan.
You can't take it back.
But I was a huge Batman TV show fan, and that got just so ruined for me when I read about, you know, the origin of Batman and everything. It was just, I don't know, it just kind of changed it up too much. He was mocked so much that I still love the Batman TV show, but, like, I, you know what it honestly is? I realized when I wasn't 7 years old anymore that the show was a joke. It wasn't like, not that any show is real, but you know what I mean.
When you really punch someone in the face, there's not a sign that comes up that says pow or
well, and I should have waited for my belt, too, before I tried that.
Did you ever threaten people? Don't make me angry.
Clint Eastwood?
What about you, Bri? Favorite superhero?
I never was into comic books as a kid, but a friend of mine who was big into comic books got me turned on to Silver Surfer, and I went nuts with Silver Surfer for a long time. I loved it.
By the way, our buddy Max Crash in the chat room is pointing out that his favorite is Bible Man.
I was about to ask that. Is anyone throwing out their favorites?
Yeah, Bruce Leo is saying that he likes Underdog.
You know, that's not really... Was that a comic book?
No, we didn't ask what your favorite hardcore band.
Sorry. And White as Bread said Bam Neely, and I don't even know who or what Bam Neely is.
Bam Neely's a hockey player.
Okay.
Part of Boston Bruins.
What about you, Chris? What's yours?
My favorite would be the star of Secret Wars 2, The Beyonder.
Okay, here's the funny thing about your choices. Keep favors Unchecked Rage, keep favors Chaos, and both... Brian and Chris have Christ complexes.
That's absolutely shocking. Brian has a Christ complex?
Because he's scared of it.
I mean, mind you, Batman has, like, you know, parent issues, but he's self-made and you know, he's also, you know...
All right.
Take
it easy.
No.
The doctor's in. Let him go.
What was that, Vito? What was Batman?
He's a genius.
He's got parent issues, but, you know, like, with his parents dying at such a young age, but he's also self-made. Like, he, you know, you don't have to be, you know, born with superpowers to be Batman. You can work out and, you know, invent stuff and be Batman, you know what I mean?
It's true, but Silver Surfer would totally kick Batman's ass. That's what's important.
Oh, of course. Yeah. He's a friggin', product of the cosmos. Are you kidding me?
I don't think of it as a Christ complex at all. The Beyonder is just his own universe. He is a universe. He's the embodiment of every aspect of another, actually not even universe, of another multiverse.
So if Christ ends up there, he's like, he's on the Beyonder's turf.
He would totally crucify him, like, upside down, bad, spinning with flames. He'd rock his world.
Silver Surfer, my daddy could eat yours.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's the planet eater. He could eat your entire universe.
But my guy's not a planet. My guy is a multiverse. It's like he's like a galaxy.
So, I mean, it's like a big meal, he'd
have to have a really big mouth. Yeah. He'd have to be hungry as hell.
So you like the Beyonder, Chris, really, because you're the size of the Beyonder.
Because I'm the size of him, and I think that I control everything when I really don't. By the way, White Ass Brandon is pointing out that Cam Neely was the hockey player. Bam Neely is a WWE wrestler.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear. I thought it said Cam. I apologize.
Those aren't superheroes.
By the way, also being pointed out, Max Crash is also pointing out that superheroes are the new tarot. Vito, you need to start a cult where you're going to read what people are by knowing what superhero they are. I like that idea. I like that idea a lot.
Well, that's what he's planning on doing. He's going to interview people on the street by their race and see who they like. And he's going to get... By what people guess, we're going to guess the color
I'm waiting for the moment when someone comes over and is like, yeah, I'm asking questions about, oh, wait, no, you're black. I have enough of you in my poll. Please move on.
For the Book of Vito, page 5, all black people love the Hulk. Black people smash.
Awesome. I also want to make it to the point where, you know, if I can get people to write down their sexual preference, you know.
Wait, they'd like to have sex with?
Yes. No. Like what they're like, whether they're straight or gay or, you know, women or men.
Do you find the term sexual preference a little insulting?
Yeah, totally.
Because I do. Because to me, it's not a preference. It's like, yeah, I think I'd like that more. Like a preference is like a choice of what food do you want to order tonight, or what kind of beer do you like. It's not, to me, a sexual your sexual orientation is more than just your preference.
But,
yeah, I'll go for a man today.
Well, I see if you think it's too casual of a way to describe it, but I think it is the same way as, like, if you naturally like vanilla or chocolate over one or the other, you could it's the same thing. It's not...
Here's the difference.
You're not choosing.
Here's the difference. I'll eat chocolate if you put it in front of me. I prefer vanilla. I'm not eating right. man if you put it in front of me because I prefer woman. Right. It's a lot bigger of an issue.
All right. So in summary, Beto is racist and Chris is homophobic. Is that what we're getting at?
No, Chris is not homophobic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought that's what we were saying.
Chris understands that sexual preference is an insulting term. Is what I'm saying.
As a term,
and all black people have unchecked rage. That's he wasn't saying.
Well, obviously, that's different though. That's talking about someone else other than me. So that's different.
Right.
I am the beyonder of this conversation.
Well, sorry, Dino. I stomped over you a couple times there. What were you saying?
No, I was saying that Chris, like, you know, by saying sexual preference, it's like saying, like, it's basically assuming that everyone's bisexual. And by saying that, you kind of, I agree with Chris, you insult people for what their actual, I don't want to say orientation either, though. I think orientation is kind of like a weak way to put it, too.
It's what you are. It's what you are. It's not what you choose. It's not what you decide. It's what you are. You've been born and you are something.
Well, for some people, it's what you can get.
But I don't think ice cream is a choice either.
Wait. It's what you can get.
Well, I mean, say, hey, you're...
Are you saying like the HIV? Are you being inappropriate that way?
I'm saying if you're an unattractive female or male, you can't be choosy. I think
Well, you know what? I'm ugly, so I guess I'll suck a C. Is that what you're trying to say? Like, that's crazy talk. Crazy talk. There's no way that because you're not attractive that, all right, whatever, I'll gender bend.
But you're going to lowball. You're going to go a little bit lower than, you know, your standards are going to get a little lower.
I don't understand by going intergender that's lowering standards. That's insane.
We've already proven earlier this show that gay people can be made. I mean, Keith successfully made a lesbian.
That's true.
Vanessa has made one as well. It could be just a matter of preference.
I don't think that they're made. I think that they're confirmed. I think they were there already.
They like choose a new name, like a gay name.
Right. Yeah, my gay name is Ramon. But
we shall know you.
But not talking intergender, just talking same gender, sexual preference of the same gender sex. And if you're an ugly person, you don't think that.
I don't hey, Vito, what kind of comics do gay people read?
Yeah, you should throw that on there too.
I can answer that.
Wait, did you say create or
read? What superhero do gay people like? Like Wonder Twins or something?
No, I think there's a pretty healthy mix. You know, I think you know, some might find the Hulk, you know, to be appealing because it represents, you know, what
there's
they
no black gay
up.
People.
Their favorite comic is Rage. Rage was the gay superhero on Queer as Folk.
Oh, was it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Max, the guy created a comic, and Rage was his name.
Max Crash in the chat room suggests one word, guys, Aquaman.
That's true, too. The Penguin.
That is one word. Isn't it funny?
He's suggesting that Aquaman is maybe gay-friendly. That's what I'm saying. Maybe gay people have a preference for Aquaman.
Is there really no gay superhero other than Rage? Rage was a outed superhero?
Well, I know on the show they said that the whole big thing was that they wanted to create a gay superhero because there wasn't one besides like the suggestion that Robin was gay.
But this isn't a real thing. This is something that was being suggested on a TV show.
There are gay superheroes, though. There's
who?
North Star from Alpha Flight.
Batman.
The new Batwoman that they just announced a couple of years ago. It was in the New York Times that new Batwoman was gay.
But that was just announced. Is that actually an issue? Is that something that's in circulation at this point?
Yeah. Which one? The Batwoman?
Batwoman.
You mean, is she dating?
It will be next year. She'll
yeah, so it doesn't exist yet.
Own comic next year.
Somebody is going to write a gay comic later, so that means that gay comics exist. I don't think
so. She's not out. She's just on the internet now.
Right,
like
exactly.
Like at MySpace, looking for dates.
Well, thanks, Vita.
So anything else happening? What else?
With me? Is that what you're asking?
No, with me. Vito, what's going on with me these days?
You're probably watching a lot of baseball.
He's right,
Vito. This is Fred. What's going on with me these days?
You're helping out mentally handicapped people and hanging out with your wife. Oh. Aren't you playing the big festival, too?
Lollapalooza this summer?
Please tell me you know about that festival. You know what, Vito? Thank you for bringing that up. There's a festival in June, and it's a Staten Island, like, Rock the Harbor, I believe it's called. It's a festival featuring maybe 15 or 20 Staten Island bands.
Rock the Harbor of Love.
I saw Fred's band playing, and I thought to myself, I wonder if Fred knows he's playing this show.
Do you want to guess? Do you want to guess if I really know?
I promise to be honest.
I'm going to guess that you just found out.
Chris's guess is I just found out that I'm playing in less than 3 weeks, is it? Or a month. It's a month. June. When did you say?
It's sometime in June.
The fact that you already know the date, I know I'm wrong.
No. I vote that he knows when it is and he knows that he's going, but he's lying so that it'll be a good bit.
Okay. Keith?
I think that he knows there's some sort of festival he's going to play. I think he has no clue when it is.
Do you think he'll be honest if Brian is right?
No, he's a liar.
Okay.
I mean actor,
and,
sorry.
Vito?
I think Freddie knew.
You want me to tell you the truth right now, guys?
Yes. Please tell us the truth.
No, lie to us. Be much better.
I know when I'm playing, but I could care less.
Okay.
I mean,
that sounds like the truth to me, actually.
We all won, then.
You all won.
Awesome. So, Vito, thanks for being a lunatic and calling into the show. And please, seriously, next week, try and have your in-depth report. I'd like there to be graphs. If you could supply graphs, I'll post them online
while
we're
doing it. PowerPoint thing. You know.
And P.S., Vito, don't expect that Hulk contract to be coming your way anytime soon.
That's true.
Oh, probably not.
Vito, or that BET gig, either, for that matter.
VitoDelSante.com, VitoDelSante.com. Enjoy it. Love it. Buy Superman 676. And, I don't know, hang out or whatever.
What kind of people like Superman?
I would think every man loves Superman. It's just
boring people like Superman.
He's a regular dude who's from a different planet, so he's here. He's not necessarily regular anymore. It's kind of Superman.
But he was raised in the Midwest.
So what? Rednecks like Superman?
Yes, go.
I think Superman is like, I see, fans of the good guy. People that like Hulk Hogan, people that like, you know.
Well, like I would Superman. Hardly call Hulk Hogan the good guy.
Or a superhero.
Before
his son killed people. What?
Where's that car crash sound effect?
I'm just saying. Not a good guy. He's an enabler. He's an enabler for murder. That's one of my feelings for Hulk Hogan.
Thank you.
And he refused to job to anybody. Even worse.
Thank you as always, Vito.
Yeah, thanks, Vito.
Hey, Vito.
Hey, guys.
Vito, Facebook wrestler. Yeah. I've been distracting guys that you're in matches with. You got to start getting some illegal moves. You got
to
start using illegal moves.
Oh,
man. Illegal moves we need. Illegal moves. As we have private conversations on the air.
Guten Tag, everyone.
All right, Vito. I'll see you at VitoDelSante.com.
So, let me ask you guys something.
I don't even understand what just happened while I was gone. How do you guys manipulate people?
That's
in
after show.
Monstrous
we'll talk
ways.
About that after show.
He brought
we
it up.
We did not manipulate that conversation.
You left the room, and right, Vito dropped the biggest bomb. You'll hear back.
Vito initiated that. Totally on his own, the whole bringing race into the
we superhero. Might have stretched it out a little bit, but I love it. He started it.
Oh, granted, we weren't going to let it go, but, you know.
It's fine. I'm confused.
So, I was thinking last week you brought up, one of you brought up, oh, it had to be you.
Happy songs? Who brought up happy songs? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Oh, by the way, but I don't want to switch topic from what I was going to say, but I didn't record a happy song out of spite. I didn't record one strictly out of spite. Because I refused to be pressured into it.
Pressured into taking part in the show?
Sometime I'll do a live performance of one, like Christmas Eve or something.
Kimbo to Mars.
But I have to say, I listened back. Once my hatred for both you guys dulled a little bit later on in the week, I listened back. And I gotta say, I still don't think they make me very happy, but both songs are fantastic songs. Those chord changes are beautiful, Fred. And you make me want to be a video game, Chris.
You picked...
Yeah, the chord changes. The one that were preloaded on his Mac that he hit play on.
Fred, you picked an excellent song.
No. You told it what chords to play, though, right?
No. He selected from a list of songs that were instrumental.
The same thing is, we're talking about the actor. He started shaking his head yes until Brian's like, oh, wait, right. Yeah, he knows.
Here's... Okay. You tell Fred... at least one lie every show. At least one lie every show.
Me?
Yes, you do.
My life is a lie.
Like, just flat out. Like, I've been listening to shows. You just tell lies on the show flat out.
Please tell me you really do talk Spanish in the bedroom. Because that's the one that I want to be true more than anything.
Can you want to make up a game show right now? Is Fred lying? Do you want to all come up with like certain things that you want
absolutely,
to ask me?
Absolutely.
Is there
game
a way?
Music. What's the game show music? Game show music.
Let me see if I have it.
Is there a way that we can like make it so like at the end of every show you can tell us which was the lie so I know I can walk out of here knowing like, oh, yeah, he really
does. Maybe this becomes an internet game.
Guys, this wedding ring? As a fake throw it across the room.
Let's see. Best in show.
His wife? He made her up.
My wife or my husband?
I don't have it.
Man, I don't have it
I
either.
I switched iPods. I have the... You want to try a different one? For Brian, you have it?
Yeah, just music. Just put music on.
That's good. That buzz is good enough.
That's great.
That sounds awesome.
All right, here you go. I have half of the official game show music.
Okay, perfect.
This is great.
And now the new game show. I wanted us all at the same time to say, why does Fred lie?
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Why? That's everyone singing with me.
We made it fun, yeah. So, am I allowed to go first? Because I have mine loaded. I already said it.
Well, I want to preface this with, I'm going to be totally honest.
What's going on here?
All these guys, Chris, Brian, and Keith, are going to ask me moments throughout the show if I have ever lied, and I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you guys for once in my life. Chris, what's your question to me?
Do you really speak Spanish in the bedroom?
That was something I brought up a couple of weeks back, and that is a lie.
You son of a bitch.
Keith?
You are caricature, man.
I would like Brian to go next.
Really? Because I got two I could possibly... There's two that I'm dying to know about.
You
got to
pick one.
Did you run over a cat? You freaking cat killer?
That was a lie.
Wow! Wow, the basis of 20% of our 9 of 100 podcasts is a lie!
I'm going to let you go with that one. I'm not going to say it.
Dude, no, go ahead.
But you know what?
Let it roll.
I think Fred is lying now to protect himself because he was so fearful of how his wife was going to react.
3 months later, do you think his wife even cares about it?
Yes. Yes, she does. She really, really does care about it.
It's a lie.
It's really a lie?
It's a lie.
He looks so bummed.
Fred from Brooklyn was awesome. High society. I loved when those guys told the truth that night. It was great.
I'm telling you, this is not a, like, we're gonna, he's gonna be, his answer could be yes to everything that we come
Keith,
up with.
Keith, go ahead.
By the way, Vanessa's pointing out in the chat room, she doesn't think any of them are lies. She thinks he's doing a setup for when he potentially loses his job right now. It's not really me, it's just a character I play.
Keith, ask me anything you want. I'm being honest. I'm being dead honest.
Let Brian take his next one for the simple matter.
Why is he getting a double shot?
Because I can't think of anything right now.
You can't think of anything? You've asked me a question 3 times during this whole show if I was being honest. And it's the same question. Has something to do with eating.
Yeah. That's exactly what was my second question.
I thought we settled. Okay.
Off the end.
During your first show, one of your first shows, which was back in April of 2007, you told us... You asked us a question. You said, are you guys allowed to eat in bed? Now, we all thought that you were suggesting, you know, like oral sex kind of thing. Does your wife let you do that type of deal? And you swore up and down for a year. Even when we brought it up a month ago, you swore up and down. I really meant eat in bed. Now I realize afterwards what you guys thought I meant, but I really, really meant eat in bed. Like, you're allowed to eat food in
bed.
Just
to clarify, we were insinuating, the three of us, not you, Fred, were insinuating that you were talking, or you were insinuating oral sex.
Okay.
As opposed to actual eating food in the bedroom.
And I'm going
to
be honest with you guys right now about that whole conversation. I did not mean oral sex. I meant eating a sandwich or a soup or a salad.
This is today's lie. You're lying right now. This is today's show's lie.
I was going to say, that the answer to that question totally throws off everything to me.
Chris, next question.
That's today's show's lie right there. I'm telling you, at least one lie a week. You've got to tell us.
You guys can even ask questions about yourself. Like, do I like you guys or anything? I'm going to be honest.
Can I ask one then?
Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
Fred, Do you wish more than anything in the world, Best in Show related, that I would quit the show?
At one point, yes, I did.
What?
I'm going to go so far as to say...
Wait a second.
Fred, are we going to establish that further?
Yeah, I'm really curious. What's that all about?
No, I did. There was one point...
We knew that. We knew that. We knew it. Come on, dude. And I hold no ill will towards him, but I knew that. I used to say, dude, I know you want my seat. You're not getting it every week.
Hey, Brian, listen up. I thought you were... didn't really need to be a part of the show either.
That doesn't surprise me. That really doesn't surprise me. But Keith? You wanted Keith gone?
He knew he wasn't going to get, as he so eloquently called him, the Italian Mussolini, Chris, off the show.
I love the Italian Mussolini.
By the way, in the chat room, White Ass Brand, please fire Fred for being honest. That son of a bitch.
Go ahead, Chris. Ask me anything you want.
We're talking about firings. We're talking about who needs to be here and who doesn't. In your heart of hearts, how many times have you thought that you didn't want to be a part of the show anymore?
It goes through my head twice a week. Saturday and Monday.
How often does it stay in your head?
8 days a week.
I will go so far as to say that I believed about a month ago that it really was over. Was it closer to over a month ago than it is now? Or are we really close right now? Or is this your big finale? This is your curtain call?
This haircut, I didn't get this haircut at the barbershop. I got it at the Army store. Going to the Army.
I have a third and final question.
Go ahead. We've gotten a little off the track because you were asking me questions that I said on the show, and now we're just going as to Fred.
Well, hey, you threw it that way. Yeah. So.
The third and final, it's been a lingering doubt ever since you've joined the show. It's always kind of been like back in the back of my head. Are you, in fact, Veal Chop?
Gonna be honest. Yes, I am.
I freaking knew it.
Yes, I am.
I'm being silly now.
Well, thank you for playing, what are we calling it?
Does Fred Lie.
Thank you for playing Does Fred Lie.
Fred's Lie of the Week.
Man. I don't know how many of the answers were true.
I know for a fact he's not Veal Chop.
It's true. It is true. Unless Veal Chop's been lying. Wait, and that would be... I'm confused.
See what I'm saying?
You know what? I actually... In the
You actually brought up a topic that we started to go into.
No, not even that.
Sidetrack you?
For the sake of being honest, I sent Fred a text message last night, which I will read to you right now. He asked me, what are we doing tomorrow? My response was, I didn't do anything for the show. I'm doing... Yeah, actually, Chris, you know what? Why don't you read this?
Well, why don't you say what I asked you first?
Fred asked me, what are we doing tomorrow? And I said, as far as why. And he said, that was a great meeting. Because we were supposed to have a meeting earlier in the week. Read my answer to him.
Wow. Yeah, I hope you guys all quit. I'm just going to start doing my own show. I didn't do anything for the show. I'm doing previously right now. I don't have much drive for a doomed show. Maybe I'll feel differently after tomorrow.
Who said that?
Keith.
I said that to Fred last night. which, for the record, I absolutely feel differently right now.
Why is it a doomed show? Why last night did you think it was a doomed show? Did you spill drink down your chest
water.
An animal?
It's fine. It's water.
Okay. It's fine. It's urine. It's urine. It's fine.
Could somebody ask me if I opened that text yet?
Because I didn't. Yeah, I wish he had like AOL mail on there so you could see like sent, not read by you. Like for things 3 months ago. Sent, not read.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred, do you want to lift to the Night of 100 podcast?
Oddly enough, I sent you a MySpace message earlier this week because I couldn't log on to the Heroes Talk forum, and you weren't online or anything. I happened to look at MySpace this morning that still says sent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you sent it to my personal MySpace or the Best in Show
Your
MySpace?
Your personal one.
Yeah, I basically only check the Best in Show MySpace now, which I think you do as well.
You don't want to see who's in your top 10?
No, I only have a top one. I have a top one, and it's me.
Let's be honest, guys. The fact that we lie and don't like each other makes it like somewhat decent radio, right?
Yeah.
I like you.
Ish. I'm curious. I'm really curious about this whole doomed show thing.
Well,
let's get this out there. Let's do this. Let's lay on the couch.
Thank God it's on Keith now.
Last week, after the show, I brought up what I felt was a legitimate gripe with the show.
Which was?
which was that it was I want some sort of an outline or a structure. It was impossible. I felt like there was too many topics that I wanted to get out, and that coupled with the fact that we have a lot of dead time where we're just staring at each other, I felt there was a need for some sort of a structure for the show. I brought up a legitimate gripe, which was basically mocked by two of the three people in this room, not Brian.
Mocked?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mock you.
Oh, yeah.
I like how you like go out of your way not to say their names, but then just
you.
Say
what
not
do you mean?
Brian.
I agreed with you.
There's two guys that apparently drink a lot that don't remember.
No. We're doing this for the listener now. Tell me. Explain. What exactly do you think? Where is this mockery?
There was a bunch of comments going back and forth to the point where I had reached the point where I just had it and I wanted to not be there anymore. And be here, I should say. And
really? We've got that bad?
Here, hearustalk.com, you mean?
Right,
here,
I want
to know. Here, H-E-R-E.
I wanted to be on Radio BBQ again, Radio Barbecue.
Oh, but honestly, every day I wish I was still on Radio BBQ.
I know.
I love barbecue.
Oh, Dan, come on, bring it back, yeah. Baby.
This is a revelation to me now.
So at one point, there was definitely comments traded between Chris and Fred mocking the fact that something about topics, oh, but I don't have a chance to get them in. I need to, I don't know, something along that line. It wasn't very clever necessarily, so I didn't remember.
Yeah, the thing is, your recounting of it. It lacks some sort of credibility because it's like wait, what happened? This is something or something else or other. I don't know. You know.
I can't remember the exact joke.
I can remember there was no joke to it.
And as a matter of fact, right afterwards, Fred looked at me and you said to me, "Wow, you are so mad. You hate us right now, don't you?" To which I replied, "Yes."
All right. So for the record, let's go back. Look in your manual. Refer back to last week's Best in Show. Download episode 117, I think it was, or 116. 117. Last week's show. We were supposed to do our happy song thing, and Brian and Keith both had an excuse for why they didn't do their happy song thing. And whether it was legit or not, you'll never know.
Well, the computers can't record. That was their excuse. Well,
and it may be a legit excuse. For the sake of our radio show, I went with, you know, starting to attack them and making a funny bit out of the fact that it was. As a result, during the show, Keith's response then was to go totally insane, Captain Insano, and start talking, "Well, you guys didn't do it either because your song sucked."
No, I said your songs weren't happy.
Well, it was the gist.
Fred's challenge was make a song that will make you happy, and I said neither of those songs makes me
actually
happy.
It was good and happy, and you guys didn't do either. Is actually what you said.
Yeah, I do. Recount.
So I was being a jerk on half.
That's not true. He didn't say it's neither good nor happy. He was criticizing the fact that it wasn't happy.
Would you like me to go to the tape?
Well, listen. I can tell you what it was. At first, I said it wasn't happy. Then when I was so mad later on, when DJ Newstyle recorded his song, which was fantastic, by the way, but when he sent you his song and we played it, I said, at least somebody did a good song.
By the way, Wyatt Brett points out, so the show is doomed because Keith knew he couldn't do a happy song.
This is what I thought the fight was about.
That's what I always thought the fight was about.
You thought that... No, the fight was about... I thought... Keith had topics to bring up last week,
that's
and he couldn't
started,
bring them
that's
up.
That's what started the negative energy.
That wasn't a fight to me.
That's what he's thinking.
And that's the thing. The fight to me was there was an issue on air over the happy song. Then after the show, we had our big discussion after the show about, you know what's going on, and it turned into this thing that I guess maybe I don't give people enough room to start topics during the show, to be quite honest.
You don't trust us. That's really what it comes right down to.
And it's true. You don't trust us. Be honest, Chris. Do you trust us? You trust us as people, but do you trust us as radio hosts?
My hesitation is probably the answer you don't want right now.
Exactly.
Well, I want to ask
you. It's not that I don't trust. I trust when you tell me, okay, I'm good today. When the show starts off and someone looks at me and says, "I got nothing for today's show," I know I can't trust.
But you say that to us pretty regularly, and we still trust you.
Yeah, because I'll go whether I have it or not, though.
And so will we, and do we, often when we don't have.
Okay,
stuff.
I'm not suggesting that you don't necessarily. I'm saying that he asked, "Do I trust?" Do I trust that I can sit here for 3 hours and know that I'm ready to let go of the what do you call it? The throttle? Is that what happens?
Yeah, yeah.
The thing, the plane thing,
the wheel,
the hoof, the hoof. I'm willing to let go of the hoof to go to the show when you guys come in and say, "Yeah, I didn't do any prep."
Well, last week, after I guess we had this big argument, Keith, were you mad during the trustful exercises that we had after last week?
No, I was having fun.
We have to set the table. You can't just jump on.
I was giving it to you, you idiot.
That's why you don't get trust. That right there, you just ruined the bit.
No, no, because that, replaying this back, I want to know if, what state Keith was in.
Can we take him off the show?
I want to know what state he was in.
Okay, so let's time
just
out.
Just kidding, Freddie.
Let's
wait. Love you, Freddie.
Everyone cool out. Let's breathe.
I quit.
Did you hear the wheezing there when I breathed?
It wasn't real. It's only your head that heard it.
Let's go to the tape.
In summation, Keith admits he was wrong. Right?
I admit that when I suggested the songs weren't good, I was wrong.
I still
don't think they were happy songs.
Thank you.
I still think I was terribly disrespected in the post-show meeting.
Two different topics. Do you think we tried harder than you did for the Happy Song Challenge?
Yes.
Thank you.
Although, I gotta say, I'm extremely disappointed. See, Chris at least... Fred did a song. Okay. Chris did a song. I'm so disappointed that Fred was so vocal ridiculing Brian and I for not doing a song, and now I found out that he hit play on a computer when program.
He sang over it.
He had to pick from a list.
I had to pick from a list, and I had to write lyrics, and I had to record it all down.
I was going to pull you aside and say, listen, man, those chord changes were like top 10 pop song worthy. Like, that was a brilliant song.
By the way, you... In a show of some sort of solidarity with the non-songwriters, said that you didn't do your happy song this week. Brian?
No, I still have not turned my computer on.
I know.
I just wanted an excuse to go to the bathroom.
Actually, no. I was talking to Bourgeoisie this weekend, and he said he wrote a happy song, too. I wish he would email it to me. I would play it.
Is he in the... I only got in the chat room recently, so...
If he's here, he can PM it to me. That's best in show, Brian. Best in show.
I think he'd be in the chat room if he was here right now.
Can I am it to me? So the trust thing, Fred. Well, I was suggesting that Chris didn't trust us, and maybe that's at the root of some of the issues.
Well, here. He doesn't, because this is like maybe a 3 or 4 minute like long clip, but maybe we could pause it when you guys want to and talk about it. But we had a trustful exercise last week and see who trusts who, and I recorded
which prevented me from leaving. By the way. As soon as that started, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll stay, because I was ready to walk out the door.
Because you seem like you were in a pretty good state.
Look, Chris is usually a jerk when we have a post-show. That's no secret.
Post-shows, I don't think, should really happen anymore. If they're going to happen, it shouldn't be anything important. Like, it's just... It rarely is helpful,
and it usually
digresses into, like, some sort of... argument or fight or something.
It won't matter if it's important or not. It'll be a fight. I'm not going to say why.
It's just... Maybe the energy is sucked out of the room, or we're amped up or buzzing on it or we're drunk or something.
Or maybe it's because someone has an opinion that other people don't want to hear.
Well, I mean... Yeah, maybe.
But seriously, but that's... But
Yes, I don't know what somebody you're talking about, but yes.
I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about myself. At the end of every show, when we used to do shows, my goal always after a show is I want to sit down after that and listen to it and say, this sucked here, this sucked here, this sucked here. Right. Let's make this better. That's just what I want to do.
But we're not listening to the show. We don't really have a good gauge afterwards. It usually digresses into it. It's rarely been anything really functional from our post-show meetings. When we get together in the middle of the week and we fight and argue, stuff actually comes out.
No, it doesn't. Need I cite the night of 100 podcast conversations? Where we fought over and over and over again, and no decision was ever made. By the way,
decision was made. You just didn't listen to it.
Vanessa's pointing out in the chat room. You guys trying to have important conversations with everyone's been drinking, and that's not productive. I challenge you to find me in a conversation where I haven't been drinking first.
What about at work? Sorry.
Some of my coworkers are listening.
All right, Freddie, I'm sorry. I've stomped over you like twice now.
Well, let's go to the tape. Let's see who's the most trustworthy out of the show.
I think you don't have the strength to hold me up.
Trustful.
Freddie, he's a big boy. I don't know about that.
Put your cup down in trustful. If you don't trustful me right now, I'm going to be so bummed.
Pause it.
I'm going to be really bummed.
we're saying trustful. We're assuming people know. A trustful is when a person stands behind you, you lean back and fall, and you trust them enough to catch you and not let you hit the ground.
You put your hands on your opposing shoulders, cross them over your heart so that you can't stop yourself.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Trust for me.
Because you know it's unbelievably funny if you let me fall.
That's disrespectful.
I've got to be honest.
Put your cup down and trust for me.
This is Fred telling
Chris. Put your cup down and trust for me.
I don't trust you.
I quit the show if you don't trust for me.
First of all, I'd like to just say, Brian was the only one that reacted there. I said I would quit the show, and Keith was like, yeah, all right, I'm in.
I was thinking, Chris, please slip and fall accident. I'm sorry, Brian.
The only reason why I did that is because I could see that quickly digress into you putting your foot down, and, oh, I'm going to make a joke out of I'm leaving or the show, and then he would say, no, okay, leave, and there would be a pissing match, and you'd end up like leaving the show out of an over-under argument
or something. And by he, Brian means me, because he
pointed at me when
he said that.
You're right.
No, don't do that. I swear to God, Chris.
Do it.
Chris, if you don't trust fall me right
Someone
now, I quit the show. Falls mean you'll trust fall?
You'll still let me fall.
I will not let you fall, Chris.
I don't trust you.
If you don't trust fall me, I quit.
Chris!
Sorry, it was great having
Like, my wife is pleading with me.
I'm not coming next. I'm not coming. Ready? Don't even. Trust fall me, or I quit. Trust fall. Put down the drink and trust me. Trust for
I'm
me.
I'm too heavy for you.
You're not too heavy. Trust me. Chris.
I don't trust you enough.
Trust for me. I swear.
I trust your intent. I don't trust your long strength.
The purpose of the trust fall is so you know he trusts you. He's telling you he doesn't trust you.
That's what I mean. If you don't trust me, how can you trust me on the radio?
I gotta say, honestly, I would trust Chris to catch me. I wouldn't trust Brian because he wouldn't want to touch.
Touch everybody.
And I'm afraid that you would try to do something funny and you would end up messing it up.
I think that you're not strong enough to catch me.
If you fall...
He thinks you're going to go through the wall.
Your intention will be to catch me.
Chris thinks I'm going to...
Like, before he hits the ground.
I'm going to catch you 3 feet before you hit the ground. 7 feet.
But do you realize how much he weighs?
7 feet. Like I'm on a ladder, I guess.
Okay, take me out too, but all right.
Keith.
It's going to be like...
Stand behind me.
I got news for you. If he starts to go down, I'm not...
Trust for me. Come on. Trust fall. Here we go.
Seriously.
Whoa. All right, trust fall. You ready?
Brian, move the table just in case.
You gotta cross your hands behind your
Right now, they've done it. Yes. They're starting.
Trust fall. Here we go.
Ready? Let's
Chris, fall again. Down.
Do it.
Fall.
Do it.
Oh, my God. Trust fall.
Chris trusted me.
For the record, I fell, and as I fell, the terror in my heart, because I'll be honest, I didn't trust. I trusted enough to let it go.
Yep.
But I was terrified.
I don't know if you're willing to admit this, but you took a tiny little step when you took the trust.
Well, I'll tell you.
I actually have it on video.
We'll go back.
We'll watch it, because one of us did take a tiny little step, and it wasn't me.
See, I was going to say two people took a tiny little step.
Your memory is altered. Because I'm telling you, I did not take a step. I fell back and I was terrified.
Chris had a legitimate gripe, though. Even if Fred trusts him, he's a much bigger dude than Fred. He could still crush him.
But we had to. I was behind Freddy. There were two of us.
And I was behind you. And didn't we all kind of get nudged back a little bit? Which is why I find it hard to believe he took a step.
I think that was Freddy acting. But
well, let's see. Let's see who's trusting.
You mean lying?
I felt like it wasn't happening.
Fred, how do you feel about that?
I think I got a hernia.
Chris, are you more trusting now, Fred?
I'm telling you, as I sort of fall, I was like, oh my God, he's really not catching.
Keith, do you want to do a trust fall?
No.
How come he's allowed to choose now?
Now you're going to try to shake it up a little bit.
Keith is doing a trust fall.
Trust fall. Best in show trust fall.
I think Chris could catch him.
On my ass again.
Who would you want to catch you?
I want Brian to back you up.
All right.
Do it.
See, that's interesting too. I don't think Keith trusted Chris to catch him because Keith said, I want you to catch me and Brian to back me up. So you're really third man on the totem pole, Chris.
There's no test there.
Okay.
Because you know what? As much as he hates me for not for dismissing his arguments after the show about wanting to have some sort of show organization, I would be blown away if Keith thought that of the three of us that I would be the one who would let him fall.
Well, we're going to get into that after this is done. Let's see.
We hadn't held you up. You were both going down, and I'm not much less.
Ready?
Keith, trust fall.
Cross your arms.
Like this?
Yes.
Fall. You didn't trust fall.
I took a step there.
You stumbled.
A trust stumble does not count as a trust stumble because
I felt myself going down.
Did we make you do it again?
That's the whole point. I'm going to catch you. Come on. Trust me, dude. You can't trust me on the radio. How are you going to trust me here?
Ready? Go.
Yeah! Trust.
I gotta be honest.
Oh, you're
it doesn't look nearly as scary as it feels.
As it feels, right?
Right.
Here goes. Trustful.
One. Come on.
Oh!
That is the scariest thing.
Everybody, Freddy,
it's your turn.
I'm not doing it. I refuse.
Stop. So we just went from Keith right into Brian, just like that. I was like, wait.
There was no argument. I just, when I did it, I knew he was going to drop me, so I just braced myself for the pain and let it go.
For the fall. And I said it last week, and we don't have it on here. When I was falling, I tucked my chin into my chest because I was convinced I was going down.
I warmed up to the fact that I was going to, that my butt was going to smack onto the floor, and I just let it go, and it was still very scary.
Exactly, and you bring up a good point, Brian, because I was thinking, too, the reason I took a step the first time was I'm thinking, this is a game of Russian roulette right now, and Chris already didn't get the bullet, and someone, Fred's going to drop someone. He's not going to let
I was number three, so I felt like the punchline. I felt it was going to happen to Brian.
You were the last chamber, so you knew you had the bullet.
Well, I have to say...
So you guys didn't understand that it was a corporate exercise trying to make the team stronger.
Not problem, the deer hunter.
when the corporate exercises do it, they do it on top of a table, and they fall back into a group of people. My answer would have been no. We would have had to argue. And
oh, wait. Where, like, we join arms and you fall?
And falling from here and you join... I couldn't... I don't think I would have done... The only reason why I was able to do it is because I knew I wasn't going to hurt myself that much if I fell from that height.
If I thought you guys had enough upper body strength, I would do that. But I know that if falling off a table, that I would break right through your arms.
No,
I tried to...
Downstairs.
It's not even that. I know that you guys could catch me, but there's a part in the back of my head that would think that I guess I just can't trust people, and I would just assume that there's going to be someone there who's gonna let me go or mess it up.
Yeah,
and
but off of a table, you could be seriously hurt.
Well, I would have said no.
Well, so far... Precisely why you should realize that it would be real.
Keith is the only one that had to go twice thus far. So, you know, he was stumbled. He was the least trustworthy thus far. So let's keep going.
Not nearly as scary as it feels.
As it feels, right?
Brian.
Here goes.
Trustful.
One,
come on.
Two, three.
Oh!
That's Brian.
That's
the scariest thing.
Everybody, trust
Freddy. It's your turn.
Come on, I'm not doing it.
Yes.
No.
I refuse to do it. The last time I did a trust fall.
It's fun, right?
Go.
Two, three.
Oh! I really fell. You guys let me fall.
Keith, that was scary, though.
That's why I stepped back, because I really thought, well, he's doing the joke on me. You know what was going through my head? That he's thinking, well, the couch will catch him.
But isn't that what radio is, essentially? Just...
Oh, my God. Just so quit the show.
Tom Robbins over here.
Just trusting somebody on the air, ready to go with the topic.
Why did I just yell Tim Roth?
Tim Roth.
Brian said Tim Robbins, the guy, the self-help guy, and then you said Tim Roth.
Well, I'll tell you, in that clip, you let me drop. Did you hear that thud? Would you like me to rewind to that thud?
The thing is, you're a little bit heavier. It's not that we didn't try.
We did. Your arms were so slippery from your filthy sweat that we couldn't catch
you. By the way, if anyone enjoyed that, next week you can look forward to today's post-show trust exercise, which is going to be the needle share.
Well, that brings the topic up. You, Keith, you had to do the thing twice. You didn't trust for the first time.
No.
I think you're the least trustworthy on the show. Or you're the least trusting of us.
I thought you were going to... I was so close to the couch, I thought that you were thinking, you know what, I'm going to let him drop and he'll hit the couch and he'll be fine.
You were saying that? Or you were thinking you were going to be dropped?
I was thinking that, which is why when I started to go, I was thinking, oh, this isn't so bad. He'll hit. And then when I realized, oh, you get caught way down below, that's when I took a little step and stumbled.
I moved away from the couch, so I know that if I was going to fall, it was going to be all floor, and I wasn't going to, like, twist my head up on the couch or anything. Yeah.
It was scary. It's scary when you leave the ground and you realize you're out of control.
The whole thing is I don't think that any of you would have that amount of disregard for my child. And my daughter was in the room. I wouldn't legitimately believe that any one of you would let my child smash. We'll see you get your head smashed. Someone get their head smashed into the ground.
By the way, as you were first about to fall, Chris, your daughter, out of nowhere, came running in from the kitchen and almost ran right behind
you. She was trying to save me. She loves me. I trust the hell out of that kid.
She's the actually one that caught you. I didn't catch you. I walked away. She caught you.
Unbelievable upper body strength.
It was like Superman.
I make her do chin-ups all day.
Well, I guess that brings us to the point. Like, who do you think is the most trustworthy?
Well, it's not even a matter of most. I want to take a step back. We can get there in a minute. I feel like we've glossed over the issues of last week's post-show meeting. And I know this is real inside and not radio-friendly, but screw it. Because I think this is actually the stuff that the 12 people that listen to us want to hear more than anything else. I want to legitimately know where we're at. I want to know, and it does tie into what is trust and what's what. I want to know, like...
Everyone tells the truth game?
What the dilly, yo?
Good question.
But, I mean, legitimately.
What the dilly for
you
what?
Had major beef because of some sort of disrespect that you thought happened during this after-show meeting last week that I didn't pick up on. Maybe because I'm the one that you thought was throwing the disrespect, but... I don't know what you thought happened, Keith. By the way, so I know who's who.
Well, Chris.
Yes, Keith.
I thought that I brought up, as I said, a legitimate gripe. At first,
can I interrupt? Even though you're ready to go?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course you can. Your show.
Bruce Leo just pointed out. Would you trust toss your daughter? And what Fred did not play on this week's tape is after we all did this last week, my daughter wanted to trust fall, and I refused to allow it to happen.
Yeah. And I was going to catch her, and you said, I don't trust you enough to catch my
trust
daughter.
No, but honestly,
I trust one person with my daughter other than myself, and that's my wife, and that's it.
But honestly, it's more of a thing that she could get hurt even as we try to catch her. You don't think any of us would intentionally let your daughter fall?
Oh, she actually...
Like,
I don't think it has anything to do with intent.
It's dangerous.
Who cares? Okay. If it's intent or mistake, I'm with him. I don't think I'd let
her. No. And I agree with him totally. But I'm saying, like, and you, obviously you can't do this. It would be some kind of, like, supernatural thing to do this. But if you remove the potential of her getting hurt... I think he knows that each and every one of us would not want, you know, would catch her to make sure she was okay.
Right, absolutely.
But he also knows that, like, we're terrible athletes.
I understand that none of you are worthy of the trust of caring for my daughter should she fall.
Butterfingers does come into play.
Oh, my God, I'm starving. Do we have any Butterfingers around here? Because I would go crazy for a Butterfinger right now. All right,
he's
so
afraid
Keith.
Fred would go, flying child, and run.
Ah! And just cover his head.
It's not mine!
Okay, so I brought it up, and at first we were going to attempt to make some sort of I'll give you this much. You were willing to say, I hate the idea, but what is it you want to do? What do we have to do?
And you know what? This Friday, after the day passed, I thought, wait, weren't we supposed to meet today to do this dumb meeting that I don't want to do for show prep?
Well, we walked out of our after-show meeting, and it didn't seem all that feasible.
I legitimately thought after last week that we were actually doing it, and I was wondering what the timing was.
If that was the case, we would have emailed each other and said, okay, it's time to get together for a meeting.
But because it was something that I was not really rah-rah and excited about, I just sat back and said, cool, we're not going to have to do it.
I think that's the whole reason why it didn't happen. I mean, we don't want to push someone into doing something they don't want to do.
So my thing was, look, I find it hard to interject topics. I feel like if I attempt to interject a topic, it's going to be people yelling over each other. There's no sort of structure we could do with some bit of form. Because we've done this show, for anyone that doesn't know, we've never had any sort of structure at all. And I'm sure they know plenty of times when they've heard it. But there's no sort of structure. We just come in and do the show, you know, and work things in however, which is how Chris likes it.
No sort of organized structure. I mean, there's
Right. We don't just say not think of anything we're going to talk about, but...
There's going to be a satellite uplink at 12 o'clock. That's the structure.
That's the structure, right. And we you know, have a list, maybe, of topics or something like that we usually don't share with each other or never do, I guess. But so anyway, Brian was more of an extremist. He wants more of a... Yeah, he was like a fundamentalist, if you will.
I'm way off on the...
He wanted some sort of a more precise structure. Like, he liked the idea of potentially sharing a topic ahead of time, which Chris and I both don't like. Fred was kind of going back and forth, making sure that we would catch him if he was to fall. But Fred, I think, was kind of in the middle there.
Are we being clear enough to our listeners what we're talking about here? What we're talking about is
and I think it's coming off boring too. It's
subject structure for the show. And the but it's the what's the boring part about it is what the argument was. The fact that the argument ensued is, I guess, what is the
right. So we're arguing about subject structure. It got into a thing where I felt like after that, well, Brian and Chris were fighting a lot, and then at that point, as usual, and then at that point, Chris and Fred started making. I was mad enough anyway, as it was, and they made references to something. You, Chris, said something like, I don't even understand how a person can't talk, just talk. And then like it was almost like a mocking, almost like ooh, I can't get my topics in kind of tone. And then did you tape the whole after fight? Because that's where the joke is that the two of you made, and that when I was just like, you know what, I'm really angry right now. To the point
what joke did we make? We didn't make a joke.
I don't know. To the point that this Tuesday night when we were listening to the DJ New Style show, I was in one chat room, Chris was in the other, and I was angry when Chris IM'd me during the show, and I was like, I don't even want to talk to you right now. But then I did, and you know.
Really?
And I'm being honest. I want to be honest because, you know, that's what I do. I'm not Fred.
I think we've covered this before. I mean, it's Chris had mentioned your wife picks up on it. You talk to people sometimes in a very aggressive manner. And people like myself who have no feelings don't really have a problem with that. But when you start talking to someone who's like a human, like Keith, he has some issues with it. And that's, I think, what it came right down to.
And you know
to.
What? Afterwards, I always doubt myself. And afterwards, I'm thinking maybe it's my lack of confidence in myself that's bringing this on, and I'm taking it out on other people. Because I always like to make, you know, like, I always like to bring things down on myself eventually because it seems like an easier problem to fix, you know, than trying to fix someone else. But, you know, afterwards, and then as the week went on, I just, you know, I said, well, whatever, I don't really care.
I was not aware that this was nearly as big of an issue as it was.
Me neither.
Here's what it comes down to. I...
Don't blame yourself.
No. I talk on a show. And I don't think that there's nearly... Like, I don't get the whole hesitation thing. And maybe that's just an aspect of my personality that it's the same way that I am in my life. Like, I'll just talk. When I feel like there's something I want to talk about, I got to talk. I don't need someone to say, here, now you go. And I thought that that's the way that we all were on this show. But maybe because I'm the one who always goes, I don't detect it so much. So that's why when it was brought up after the fact last week, it was just like, and God knows how many vodka drinks in, when it was brought up last week, I was like, shut up, just talk, stop being gay, you know?
That's really the point, is that that was the response. Not so much that you had that opinion, but that's how you voiced your opinion.
And that's how I voice every opinion.
Precisely my point.
And that was part of the
problem. So don't be my friend. Stop being my friend.
I'm just saying, that's perhaps why Keith was a little...
And that's part of the problem, too. That was part of the reason that when I was bringing it up, I was thinking, I sound like everyone I hate. Ooh, I don't get to talk enough, which wasn't exactly what I was saying, but that's how it was coming off, so that's why it was just kind of like, it was a whole mess.
But Chris, wouldn't you want a person to care about what you say, especially when you're doing a radio show with them? When you say, okay, don't be my friend, I know you're kidding around, but I know there's a nugget of truth in there. Don't you care about like what... your radio host has to say if one of us thinks it's a major problem.
Slow down. My point is not that I don't care what Keith has to say, but my point is just like, just do it. Just stick yourself in there and go, because that's just what I do. Granted, I'm only fighting with myself the majority of the time because I don't shut up.
No, it's not just do it. It's just do it, you douchebag. Don't be an idiot, faggot.
Stop making a big deal out of the fact that you think that I'm not letting you go. just go.
I'm just saying.
Well, I guess the question here is, Keith, have you forgiven me and Chris?
Yeah, just do it.
Oh, yeah.
Bricks Avalon is asking if Nike supported this part of the show. Just do it.
He also pointed out something excellent. I did cut high school to see Legend, not Scarface, so I am a bit too sensitive.
You're definitely an Aquaman.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with it.
Really?
Yeah.
He's totally fine with it, except he sent you a text message last night talking about the abomination of lifestyle.
You know, no matter what it is, when the day of the show comes, I'm excited about doing the show.
Well, day forward, I won't be. Because I feel like somehow I'm here with a bunch of jerk-offs.
Well, how could we, you know...
From this day forward or backward?
True. Next week when it's the Chris show, it's going to be awesome.
Do you think we could squash everything now, or no?
I didn't think there was anything to squash.
I don't feel
Fred,
like
what's
that
the
now.
Next exercise?
I don't know. Another trust game?
I'm hoping not squat thrusts, because my heart can't do it.
Well, maybe we should play, you know, the trust game with everybody else. You know, Keith has to tell the truth.
Bricks points out that we should be doing a PowerPoint show with no spontaneity. Maybe that's the way that we should be doing it. And that's my fear. You know what? As this show went on last week and we talked about what we were going to do this week and whether you guys were going to do your happy songs that obviously your computer was still broken and you couldn't do, It was also brought up by Fred that I needed to do a pre-recorded bit for this week's show.
Well, that's how the book came up.
And I went back and forth a million times on what pre-recorded bit I was going to do, and I can't do a pre-recorded bit. I tried. I have a list of things I wrote out, and I was going to do a pre-recorded bit, and I can't do it.
Please read that list.
And
please.
let me just say something else. Too.
I kept the two main ones I did was I was going to do a song parody of Call Me, you know, the same way that they did on the Kid Chris show to Schwoogies, but it was going to be about humans and about how people who need to do racist songs to be funny are just stupid. Okay. That was one, which I don't know if you guys know anything about that Kid Chris show.
He got kicked off for doing
he's,
that.
He's got racial. Fired because some girl did a song to Blondie's Call Me. And it was called Schwoogies, and it was making fun of blacks the whole song. So whatever, that was one of my big bits, and I was just like, you know what, this is dumb, this is hack. This is what my fear with doing anything pre-recorded is. It's always going to be hack and terrible. And the other thing I was going to do is I was going to do a PSAs about guys who wear clothes too tight, but that's another whole story.
But that could actually be productive.
See, there sounds like some potential. Look, on that my second
big
one.
My big problem was I knew I was going to come off looking like a jerk in this, but my big problem was not that. I have things and I don't get to talk. It's if you do a show and at the end of the show somebody on the show complains, I was the only one that had anything today, I was the only one that had anything today, and you did have a list of things but didn't feel comfortable working them in at any point. That was basically everyone knows it's
who is someone A and who is someone B.
That happened last week?
That's what started the whole thing last week. That's why I even brought it up. Because I said, you know what? I can't bring this up without sounding like whatever derogatory word for a gay person you want
to
use.
It's also
like,
the worst possible time to do it is in those after shows.
Yes. What is it? Schwoogie?
Schwoogie.
Could we have, like, a corporation has, like, complaint boxes? Could we put a complaint box in the middle of the table and at the end of every show, the last 15 minutes, we'll take stuff out of the complaint box?
There is a complaint box. I'll give you Chris's address when we're done.
And there's actually an auto respond to all emails that says, "Shut up, stop being gay. Shut up, stop being gay."
Or maybe even voicemails. We can make the voicemail like a complaint hotline, and anyone could call. Even the even our fans.
Yeah, please, fans, call us in and leave a message.
And just like our buddy Bricks is saying in the chat, maybe we should wear suits and ties to the show every week. Maybe we should become this corporation that you effing homos want.
That's ridiculous.
Look, we're not looking for it doesn't matter anymore. It's a moot point at this point, but I wasn't looking for a pre-planned thing. I just felt like
Neither was I.
I like organization. We don't have to be organized. I like today's show. I'll come out and say it.
I'd like organization going forward.
You, Chris, really?
I honestly think
I'm willing to try it. And even as early as the show started today, I thought it was possible that we were going to say, all right, who goes when? I'm fine with it. Because you know what? Like I said, I know that my personality is the type that I'm just going to talk. If no one's talking, and by no one's talking, I mean there's 0.3 seconds of silence, I think no one's talking, I will just start going. That's just who I am. That's how I am. That's the type of person that I am in life, in a radio show, in everything. The way I'm at work, that I just yell and scream at my desk constantly all day long, that's just who I am. So I have no problem letting go of the reins, letting go of the throttle, even though I don't trust you guys to catch me when I fall. I'm willing to let go and see where this thing goes. That's fine. I'm with it.
Chris, ask me if we need organization in the show. I'll be honest with you. Go ahead. Ask me, Chris.
Well, I'm sorry.
Ask me if we need organization in the show, and I'll be honest.
I think you just answered.
Yeah, something you need to organize.
Dear Fred, do you think we need organization in the show?
Who cares?
I think that's gay. You douchebag. I hate you.
You're hanging on that word douchebag, though.
Sorry. It's my job to annoy you.
You're upset because I called you a douchebag.
You called him a douchebag. Let's clarify. I'm upset because you called Keith a douchebag.
I called you a douchebag at the beginning, didn't I?
Well, I'm sure you called me a douchebag. That's not what I'm
saying. I did in my head, anyway.
My favorite organization is what? Vanessa and Vito. Thanks to both of them.
I don't think Vito was organized. I think
you're right.
I think he regrets his entire appearance, though. And that's why you should download this 100 times.
Here is talk.com, bestinshowradio.com, DJ New Style, live, 9 to 11, Tuesday nights. This one's for... Yeah, not hitting post today. But this one does go out to Because I forget a very important thing every time.
Do you want to start over again?
Absolutely.
Come on. You won the Radio Olympics.
This one goes out to... You know, if you just said it instead of saying, I'm not going to hit the post, you would have hit the post.
No, because I forget...
He still has to do cocky socks and roll it over your face.
That cannot be left out, so I forget that every week.
All right. Can you thank Trust and Honesty, too?
I'd like to thank Fred, actually, for not stealing my spot on the show yet.
Wait, the music's
Fred,
on.
Fred, which part?
I didn't put the music on yet.
What was your lie of the week, Fred? Which one?
Me being here.
He's not here.
Oh, my God. Maybe that's your thing you have to have every week. You isolate your lie of the week, and we guess at the end of the show.
I'm telling you, that's it. There's right.
It's a great bit.
I have a lie. I have a lie.
It sounds was a little too organized.
It was
opinion.
A lie today.
What do you got for best in show?
Hey, everybody. We'd like to thank Vanessa, Vito, everyone in the chat room. HearUsTalk.com, BestInShowRadio.com, DJNewsStyle.com. As I said earlier, DJ New Style, every Tuesday night, 9 to 11. Yeah, you guys know it. I'm going to throw the cocky sock steamroller roll over your face a little bit early. Want to thank Fred, want to thank Brian, want to thank Chris.
Thank you, Keith.
What was I last?
You'll figure that out after the show.
Thanks, White Ass Brent, in the chat room. Excellent research work.
Everyone in the chat room. And this song goes out to the one and only DJ Robbie Bird, because I know this is his favorite song ever. Thanks a lot, everybody. Happy Memorial Day.
Mics are down. Wait, they're not. By the way, it's Memorial Day. Tomorrow. There's two things in the world that you need to do. Remember the heroes and bury the dead. Peace.
Love it or leave it.